we had invited the Department of Correctional Services to talk to us about the extension of the nutrition contract. And we're assuming there's somebody to do that for us. We are also invited the Department of Correctional Services head office specifically to hear from us what we picked up on our oversight visits to Ceres and to Barbican. And for the province of Western Cape and for Public Works to explain to us the challenges that they're facing with their infrastructure. I'm assuming that by now head office has received the report back from the Western Cape on our oversight, so we'd expect somebody to talk to us specifically in the Western Cape about the infrastructure delays. We had also asked the Department of Correctional Services to come and talk to us around parole. And on the letter dated the 9th of January, we had asked the CMC, Zonderwater, and the chair of the parole board of Zonderwater to be with us. I am not aware that they are here with us, so we are hoping that somebody will talk on their behalf and also maybe just explain to us why they're not here after we've sent that letter on the 9th of January. And just conferred with Cindy, and she's not received any letter from the department saying why that request is being denied. So if somebody can tell us why the CMC and the head of the parole board are not with us, but we will discuss that matter anyway. So that's really what we are about today. So welcome to Department of Public Works National and Department of Public Works Province, National and Provincial DCS, you welcome. And we have with us the Auditor General's office. I think that's all the Auditor General's people there. And then we have members of the committee with us, and I'm sure there will be a few others joining us as we go along. Our agenda really is to start off with the discussion around the nutrition extension. And we are hoping that that can be done within an hour. Then we'd want to talk to the oversight, both of Barberton and the Western Cape. And we'll close our business for the day with a discussion around the parole board, in that order. I'm sure we all know each other here. I'm not sure anybody wants to introduce. If we want to do that, we can start, but I'm sure we are mostly familiar with everybody. Maybe head office, DPW, as you speak, you just introduce yourself. But everybody else should know themselves and should know each other. We've been around for a while. My name is Vincent Smith, and I chair the committee.
Honourable Chairperson, good morning. My name is Peter Chiapasco, currently the Acting Deputy Director General of Key Accounts Management at the National Department of Public Works Head Office. I have a delegation of 5 colleagues supporting me this morning that come from the Nelspruit Regional Office as well as the Western Cape Regional Office. They will introduce themselves accordingly. Thank you.
Chairperson, good morning. My name is Non Dumbata. I'm from Nelspruit Regional Office and a section called Key Accounts Management. Thank you.
morning. I'm Alexander Griffin. I'm Director of Projects in the Western Cape.
Heinrich Smith, Senior Project Manager, Western Cape National Department of Public Works.
Good morning. My name is Frederick Johnson. I'm the Regional Manager for the Department of Public Works, Western Cape.
Morning. I'm Melika Zimmer from DPW, Head Office, Key Account Management.
Honorable Chair, my name is Mosin Jokoff. I'm from the National Department of Public Works Intergovernmental Relations Unit.
All right. We, on our side, have at least two new members. So let's do the introductions, not just the new members, but let's start by Mam Gwenya so that those two new members don't feel like we are picking on them. And members of my, as I said, my name is Vincent Smith. Can we start with you, Mam Gwenya, and go around?
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, everybody. My name is Winnie Gwenya from Houghton Organization, ANC, Portfolio Committee, Correctional Service, a whip of Correctional Service. Thank you.
Morning. The name is Sheikh Fokizaka, ANC.
My name is Rafiq Shah from KZN. I represent the Democratic Alliance. I'm the Deputy Shadow Minister for Correctional Services, former Shadow Minister of Defense.
Hi, I'm James Stock from the DA.
Remove it as in the KwaZulu-Natal IFP.
My name is Paul Mgoni from COPE.
Leonard Mack, member of the committee, Democratic Alliance.
From Atabate, Sensha for the committee.
Baba, you want to do the honors from the AG's office? You don't have to if you don't want to, because we know you, but you can do it now, seeing that we are all doing it.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. My name is Musa Songwa. I'm the business executive responsible for the audit of correctional services, among others, from the Auditor General.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and members. My name is Soli Gianna. I'm the Senior Manager from the Office of the Auditor General, responsible for the audit of the correctional services.
Good morning, Chair, colleagues. Aubrey Arendorf, Senior Manager, also responsible for the audit of correctional services.
Morning, Honorable Members. My name is Virgan Zimaskiviga, Parliamentary Manager in the Office of the Auditor General.
Thank you very much. Maybe we should allow you also to do the honors and introduce yourself, then we start with our business.
My name is Tom Moyane, I'm the National Commissioner for Correctional Services.
Good morning, Jenny Shwan, CCO.
My name is Zipiwe Sokela, the Chief Financial Officer.
Good morning. My name is Nomzikele Lojolingana. I'm the Chief Deputy Commissioner for Development and Care.
Good morning, Honorable Members. My name is Sebastian Murphy. I'm the Chief Deputy Commissioner for the ACSA and SADC branch, which is the African Correctional Service Association and SADC. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honorable Members. My name is Zakaria Mudisi, the Chief Deputy Commissioner responsible for correction.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. I'm Alfred Tetsani, the Regional Commissioner of Limpopo, Mpumalanga and Northwest Region. Thank you.
Morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. James Mulder, the Regional Commissioner, Western Cape Correctional Services. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Members. My name is P. Gombambo, the Deputy Commissioner responsible for Intergovernmental Relations.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Terence Razaroka. I'm the Deputy Commissioner, Executive Management.
Thank you very much. We have apologies from Minister Tulot Nwesi. Wanted to be with us, but he's in a cabinet meeting. So we have an official apology from the Minister of Public Works. Commissioner, on the occasion of the Minister's budget speech in 2010, she declared that outsourcing of nutrition was not the favored route to go, and that that was going to be cancelled. That was in a budget speech in 2010. The portfolio committee met with head office in August last year and raised this matter. In October, a delegation led by a Mr. M. Malatsi appeared before this committee, and that delegation, or Mr. Malatsi, made an undertaking, Commissioner, that he was going to go back to you specifically, he was going to go back to the Minister specifically, and relay the sentiment that this portfolio committee indicated to them that this contract is about to expire. And are you ready for that eventuality? His undertaking was he would take the sentiment to the National Commissioner, he'd take the sentiment to the Minister, and he will revert to this committee. As we speak, we've not received any response from the interaction in October. So what I'm saying, Commissioner, to you and the department is that there was a ministerial directive. There was interaction directly, this portfolio committee, with you at head office. There was interaction with Mr. Malatsi, where you might not, and I think you were not present, but Mr. Malatsi indicated that he would take it to you as a minister, and you've got minutes and also correspondence to that, I mean, transcripts to that effect. So, we want you to respond to three questions specifically, Commissioner, and then I'll open it up to members. Having said what I said in terms of how long this matter has been on the agenda, please would you answer to us why we only woke up to this fact at the last minute in terms of this thing is going to expire and we have a crisis. That's the one area. The second area is for us to respond to how do we, now that we're sitting in this situation, Commissioner, what do we do going forward? I'm assuming that the principle still remains that we are all in agreement that the outsourcing of nutrition is not the route to go. I'm assuming that that's it. And if that is correct, what is the way forward in terms of us achieving that policy directive? Because we haven't changed as a portfolio committee, and I've heard nothing to the effect that the minister has changed. And of course, number three, after you've explained to us, what is it that you're going to do to make sure that this episode doesn't repeat itself? What assurances are you going to give us? And that's not you, maybe we must discuss it as a committee. If we now say that this is the way forward, what assurances do we think as a collective needs to be put into place so that we don't find ourselves in this situation in the future? I think that's how we should be discussing it. So if you could touch on those issues, and as members interact with you, you will elaborate. But really, why after so long do we find ourselves in this situation? And what are you going to do about it? Now that we're in this situation, what are you proposing happens to get us out of it? And number three, what assurances as a collective do we think we should be putting in place so that that directive of the minister and of this committee is implemented? we had asked the AG to come here, and maybe AG, you, if you so wish, you could respond. Commissioner, you know, we did indicate that, depending on your responses and so on, are we deviating from supply chain management? Are we not? If we are deviating, does it have implications in terms of irregular, fruitless, wasteful expenditure? What are the implications on the audit findings or the audit opinion? That's why we've asked you here, because we maintain that as this committee, our goal is to have a clean audit. If anything else, by the end of the time we leave here, we want an unqualified audit. So, depending on the responses, you guys must give us some sort of guidance in terms of that response will lead to this, or that response is in order and so on. That's really why we asked. We had asked you previously to give us an opinion, and we have that opinion. Thank you very much for that. So, you really just an expert advice, and we do know that you don't want to be with us the whole day, but after this discussion, you could leave. So, you're free to leave whenever you're done. Commissioner, can I hand over to you to take us forward on this one?
Chairperson, honorable members of the Portfolio Committee present this morning, and the delegation that I lead, we are honored once again to have interactions with you in the first time during this calendar year towards the end of the financial year. Indeed, we have listened to the questions that we need to respond to this morning in accordance to the agenda before us. Chairperson, the question of nutrition contract is something that I would not have liked to discuss. But because I'm leading this organization, the matter before us, it needs to be explained here in the context. So that we explain ourselves the rationale and the reasons for the extension. If wishes were horses, certainly the organization would not have followed this route of outsourcing some of the things that we ought to be doing it ourselves. But because we found ourselves in a situation where in these matters, indeed, as you rightly say, the budget speech of the Minister of 2010 and the portfolio interaction with us in August last year, and the meeting that the committee had with Mr. Malatsi with respect to the issues of outsourcing of nutrition contracts under discussion by BUSAFA. The questions that you raised with us are pointed, and indeed they need to be responded appropriately to the best of our ability to assure the taxpayers and the political oversight that all the members here represent. And therefore it is my duty as a National Commissioner and Accounting Officer to explain why. Perhaps, Chair, we have provided slides and presentations to yourselves, but with your permission, I would like us perhaps to discard the presentations, because presentations, in most cases, they don't talk to the matter, they are impersonal. You don't have to add facts or increase the validity of the statement that you have. But in some instances, I'll request your indulgence that I should be able to revert to some of the slides in no sequential form, but in a manner that I will even indicate to the members where I'm speaking. The whole contract with BUSAFA has its own history. The history that we all know as new members who have joined this organization, which is not good in itself. The issues of the Special Investigating Unit, the issues where the contract was contested, and these are the issues that are in the public domain that we know. But perhaps to contextualize my responses, Chairperson, as to what happened after the minister made that determination with the policy directive. What happened? When we took office in May 2010, there were a number of issues that we needed to do. One is the transformation of the organization. I'm happy and proud today to explain and express my gratitude that the full T team of management is on board as we speak today. All positions at senior management level have been put off. An organization that you would call chairperson, wherein everybody was acting in that or that other capacity, had its own challenges and inability to execute its challenges. And therefore it was fitting that we deal with this issue of effective leadership and people not being able to account for the responsibilities that they have been appointed for. There's a full suite of management here. Some have not come precisely because they're not affected by the agenda of today. The transformation at the top of this organization, I sincerely believe, and that of the minister and the deputy minister, has happened. But perhaps as I progress with my presentation on the net on the table, will demonstrate to yourselves that there is a resistance and also the untransformed part of the organization given its culture at senior and middle management. We discharge responsibilities to members at the lower level. It is those who are able to execute those tasks where some blockages happen. And of course, I'll provide leadership in that in terms of my responses. Chairperson, this contract, its short history, it started in 1996 for the Ekusen Youth Development. And then, of course, in the 30th of August in 2006, this tender, HKS 5-2006, was expanded to include other seven management areas. Now, I just want to contextualize that BOSASA is not operating across the 240 correctional services. That's what we need to make clear here. This BOSASA contract that we're talking about only affects the seven management areas. We know that this portfolio committee is passionate on offender labor and the skills development thereof, because after the tenure in our facilities, they should be able to exercise the skills that they have acquired in our facilities. Chairperson and members of the portfolio committee in all other centers we cook for ourselves. And I recall vividly, very well, in one of the meetings wherein we were asked by Mr. Abrams in particular, that offenders should not be sitting in their cells and not work. And we indicated that it's not all centers wherein we have workshops, agricultural farms, but selected areas wherein we have this competence. Having said that, what is it that we have done after the 2010 when the minister gave a directive? My team and I went to a situation of doing an audit with respect to this matter. We solicited information with respect to the seven management areas as to the state of readiness. That's how we coined our approach to this matter. The state of readiness meant, therefore, we needed to have a sense of each of the seven management areas under discussion in terms of equipment, human resource, capacity, and the training of offenders that were able to run these facilities effectively. But I need also to go back a step in order to strengthen the discussions that we're having today. That around 2009, a study of feasibility, feasibility study was requested by the department to look into the future of outsourcing or insourcing of the services of this particular phenomenon. And the study was awarded to a company called Darkstone. And this report elevated to our level in 2010, late, that the issues that were raised in the terms of reference were not responded to amicably. Then the question that begs to be responded to yourself is, if that is the case, why did we pay? Chairperson, in any terms of reference, you pay for the deliverables that are in accordance to what you have said they should do. But we demonstrate today that correctional services pay for each and everything that works or doesn't work.
And this is a problem that we're trying to create here. And we're also going to demonstrate to yourself that we have serious problems with respect to how contract management per se is managed. That report did not respond fundamentally to the issues that were in the terms of reference. But not to lengthen the discussion in terms of my explanation is that once this matter was brought to our attention by the minister and the interaction that we had with yourselves and Mr. Malati, we sought, therefore, if you recall, to establish the EPMO, Enterprise Project Management Organization, to deal with issues across the organization, to do an assessment of all contracts, service level agreements, and projects in the department. I must indicate that in 2011, August, September, we wanted the report to indicate, because our understanding, I need to reference it, our understanding and my understanding as the accounting officer, the contract that we're discussing today ends in January 2012. Chairperson, I want us to keep to that. My understanding and the understanding of this team that I did were all informed by contract management that this contract ends in January 2012. And therefore it was pregnant given the space and the analysis that we're doing, because we are aware from any management perspective, anything that you need to extend or terminate, you need to have time of about 3 months to have an analysis as to whether you continue or you discontinue. At that time in September, October, the EPMO came to us and said, the Chief Deputy Commissioner of Development and Care said, I've done my research, I'm not finding this report that we had before giving us substance. EPMO quickly gave us a sense. In November, EPMO said, there is no way that you guys will be doing insourcing. We are not ready. And quickly we said and huddled around this matter, it was around November. And you'll recall, colleagues, around November, December, we were also involved in a major project with the minister on the Garros Museum, the memorialization of the Garros. It was in November in that NEMCO that we said we need to escalate this matter, that we are not ready to take over. And therefore we escalated the matter to the Executive Management Committee on the 12th of December. And the presentation was done by everybody present. It was very clear that in a month's time, we shall not be in a position to take over the kitchen. I therefore, as an accounting officer, instructed the team that we do a quick analysis of the pros and cons with respect to the termination. We found ourselves between two extremes. Terminate, you're not ready, and you end up with riots. And it is common knowledge across the whole world that the kitchens control in any facility in the world, the kitchens are the nerve center of lives. If there's no food, you have riots in any facility. We all know international benchmark is that in any facility where there is no food for inmates, the country will come to a situation where you have rolling creation of killings and what have you. And I did not want to be irresponsible in the decisions that we are going to take. We therefore, I advised the National Bidding Committee to sit and assess what options are available for us in order to deal with this matter, vis-a-vis the reality on the ground, not something that is invented or imagined. The National Bid Committee met without my involvement at all, because it is the highest body that decides on the issues of extension, contracts, and the like. They met in January to discuss this matter. Several meetings were held. But most importantly, for us to take a decision as an organization, they needed legal opinion. Legal opinion was sought from the SILC, in the legal system. And the legal opinion that came was that the Department of Correctional Services may extend this contract to the extent which is available by the law to advertise and award a tender. I need to indicate that they did not indicate a time frame. They said allowable time wherein the department can advertise, evaluate, adjudicate, and award. We therefore consulted the supply chain management unit, and wisdom within the unit says it will take us 6 months to complete the process. On the basis of that, the department, the unit, the National Bid Adjudication Committee informed me that this is what is expected of us. And therefore we said, it is therefore important that you need to consult with the service provider because we have no other alternative but to deal with this matter in the time limit that is available. In the concerted and adverse discussions that took place between the National Bid Adjudication Committee and the contractor before the contract expired, I mean to say, the service provider said 6 months not on the table. Don't even consider it. Because already we have other engagements in other things that because we are unable to help you in 6 months, we can only consider 12 to 18 months. Chairperson and members of the portfolio committee. They also preface that if it's 6 months, the premium, if we do accede to 6 months, there'll be a premium of 43%. I'm an economist by training. When that was brought to my attention, I said there is no way I'll accede. I don't have influence on the National Bid Adjudication Committee. This is unacceptable. 6 months without premium, if we go and challenge by the Treasury and AG, we'll have no food to stand on. We need to negotiate for something that is workable, but even then, 18 months for me is not on. We need to find a midpoint. I need to recommend my team for the work that they've done and the time that they've spent hours on end. For 6 days on end, this matter was being discussed. I recall when we were at the graduation school in Kronstadt, I got a call from the chairperson of the Bid Adjudication Committee, Ms. Schreiner, that National Commissioner will have reached a statement we are unable to deal with this matter now. We seek your advice. I took it upon myself to call legal opinion of Mwelane Senior Counsel. And I said, please explain to me at what the legal implication of this matter. And he says, I want to re-emphasize that the legal opinion that I have given you stands in the court of law in accordance to your tender processes. If it's 6 months, whatever it is, that you may. But beyond that, it will be a problem. I want to demonstrate to this committee that we did everything possible to do it within what we thought it can be done within the 6-7 months wherein normal tender procedures are applicable. And because we had our backs against the wall and we had a situation that we needed to curb, especially with respect to riots and possible disruption of services, the 12-month midpoint was a point for discussion. When the values were agreed upon finally, that 12 points was agreeable to service provider, we needed now to do number crunching. I can confirm that my misgivings about the 43% was not misplaced. We're getting value for money here. We want to confirm to this committee that there is no outsourcing. I repeat, there will be no outsourcing beyond 2013, January 31st, of the Busasa contract. Correctional services, come rain, come shine, will have to insource that service. But we want to make a commitment to this committee here that Chief Deputy Commissioner Jolingana, responsible for this, the CFO, the Chief Deputy Commissioner of Corrections will all sit and be informed. We have a project plan. I have here for your confirmation, Chair, a letter that comes from the Chief Deputy Commissioner Jolingana committing to the timelines that we have set ourselves. And the steering committee said that shall be sitting off. Already we have timelines that we have identified, the first meeting of the steering committee. Because we have agreed in principle without any negotiating whatsoever. By September 2012, we should be able to have a clear picture that we can take over, not wait until the end state, that we phase in our own officials in the process of providing nutrition services. But we need also to highlight that the a need for the Chief Financial Officer in the period preceding this, where in an audit, exhaustive audit, because it is important that we as leadership should walk the corridors and the kitchens of this affected management center, not to get reports secondhand and ourselves. I also need to occasion this, Chairperson, because on the 18th and the 19th you called me. I was from the Kruger Group management area, which is affected by this particular contract. Not for any reason for me to visit for official. I want, as the National Commissioner, to visit any center unencumbered, unannounced. Because unannounced programs, you tend to get sanitized setups, everybody speak and spend. I must indicate there I was impressed because without my announcement, my arrangement here, everybody was on duty, things were running, and I went to the kitchen. The kitchen was not ready, Chair. But all along, we're given the impression that the kitchen would be in a position to take over. The kitchen was not ready. I walked there. I can even ask this committee if they wish to go and ask the member of BOSASA who was on site. The kitchen is not ready. The floors are not in a condition for us to be able to provide services. We have what you call a satellite kitchen outside. All what we do also has dependency. But I want to ensure and assure this committee that the decision that we have taken was not a decision taken irresponsibly. We have committed ourselves in the presentation that was given to ourselves yesterday, my sincere apology for this, because it's one thing that I don't want to lose ball of. That we shall report to this committee, if it so wishes, on a monthly basis or quarterly basis, on progress on this matter. And I, as a National Commission, the Commission of Correctional Services, with my team, will take full responsibility on this matter. We want to confirm that the directive given by the Minister of Insourcing is not debatable, is not for discussion. Ours is to create that environment that our offenders are providing that service. Way forward, a steering committee under the stewardship of CDC Development and Care, Ms. Jolingana, has been established. But we also want to assure you, because I made a statement earlier on when I spoke about senior and certain middle management not helping the cause of change and transformation in the department. I have instituted together with the CFO an investigation in contract management. Because this contract, Chairperson, by its nature, if contract management is efficient and effective, it should have alerted everybody to indicate, like any other organization, when there's procurement of services, what are your stock levels? Minimum and acceptable. This did not happen. We were kept being told a lie. And I, as the National Commissioner, I take serious exception. When this was brought to our attention 2 weeks back, we said an investigation should take place. We shall also, in the process of providing leadership and reports to yourself, give you progress reports in the event we find people who have misled us in terms of the information. Consequences conducive with the disciplinary processes shall be put in place. I owe anybody any favor. Mine is to do what is expected at the leadership level. Those responsible for the activities that have led us to this particular situation shall, in any form, be taken to task. We want to confirm to yourselves that when this decision was reached, we did, in the process of governance, call the Auditor General's office. Because the issues linked with financial management and accountability to the state, and be able to have an assessment as to whether what we have done is in compliance with the law. And this will respond to themselves, because they're an independent organization. But I want to emphasize, Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee, that our kitchens, most of them are not ready. And it has come to my attention, because this matter is under my belt, that a member of Portfolio Committee did visit Paul Small, member of Portfolio Committee did visit Mother B, for your own interaction and assessment as to whether what you report to yourselves is a state of reality that we provide to ourselves. I can confirm questions will be raised, and we'll be ready to respond to the issues that the observations were made. And it was further distressing for me to understand that in the same contract that we're talking about, because contract management is a specialty, Chairperson. It's not a thing that you do at the whim of your time. We have discovered and informed the library staff that the service provider buys some of the articles from us, procurement of goods, meat, vegetables. In the normal course of a contract negotiation, you need to be able to sell the products and price them accordingly. Because if the contract is set hypothetically at, for 3 years, 1 billion, I'm using the number as a benchmark for us to be able to make reference. The service provider has already made his cost analysis as to where the procurement of goods and services would be. If potatoes are going to procure them in the market for 20 rand, they've already looked at their own margins. But if the service provider is going to buy things from us at lower prices, it's an issue that needs to be looked into. Which means, therefore, I take serious concern about the capability of the contract management being able to represent the interest of state. Way forward and assurance. I, as a national commissioner, together with my team, and of course the CDC Development and Care being the custodian of this particular project of caring of our inmates, upon taking this decision, which was at least with painstaking decisions, that 12 months is beyond that is non-negotiable, we shall stick and we shall deliver within the 12 months. The timeline that has been given to CDC Development and Care that by September, I as a National Commissioner, together with the team that you lead, I need to have a plan that says phasing in September. So that we have a sense that in September, October, November, slowly the services of the service provider that is already on the ground are phased out and we take effective leadership. In conclusion, Chair, I don't want to bring this through the back door, but you recall when I say contract management per se and supply chain management principles in most cases were not observed in the organization. I'm talking about IT in particular. It also gives us a sense. If we're sharp enough to deal with issues upon which this organization will be able to fulfill its mandate, I've given a directive to the CFO that we need to overhaul our supply chain and, in fact, contract management unit, because it is key to everything that we do. And to have composite skills that will be able to give us a sense of what needs to be done. I want once again to bring to the attention of this committee that an honour rests on our shoulders as leadership. But I will hasten the process of transformation in senior and middle management, because that's where things particularly Department of Correctional Services, don't go right. I don't want to, in conclusion, cast aspersion at this point in time. But the chairperson has indicated that you have invited Department of Public Works, which is charged with a huge responsibility in terms of the facilities that the state has. And I don't think we're the only ones who may have a challenge with respect to this particular phenomenon. There's an issue of dependency. Some of the contracts and some of the work and facilities depend entirely as to the ability of our sister department to be able to discharge some of those functions. And I want to indicate here that we have already started interaction with a new Director General on the 3rd of January this year. In February, my apology. We had a meeting with the DG, wherein we shall, as accounting officers, sit and evaluate and assess projects that fall within correctional services, measures to be put in place in order to unblock some of the problems that we have. I may express sympathy for them because they also have to create space for us to be able to have our facilities in order. But as to other strategies that we shall put in place, that is for me and my management team to discuss with them separately. Chairperson, I believe sincerely so that to the best of my ability and the team that I lead, the decision to extend the contract for 12 months was not taken lightly. And hence we're here to account yourselves. But with respect to the processes that relate to the SIU, the investigation, criminal charges, those are still up. It is not going to be this unit or this management that is going to stand before the process that has been set. I can confirm and relate here that is 2 weeks late back, 2 weeks ago, we had a Hawks in our facility coming to do further investigation on this matter. So the assurance that we're giving to ourselves, Chairperson, is that the investigation that has been put in the public domain, SIU, corrupt relations and whatever, those are issues that this management team is not going to hinder the process. In my leadership, and the team that is here will deal with the issues that refer to us and be able to assist in providing leadership to. I want to say, therefore, the SIU investigation and the like still takes place. As to how long will be concluded, it's beyond me as the leader, but that is left to the institutions that are related to this matter. And I can assure you that the minister, the deputy minister, and I at the apex leadership meetings, when these matters are up, we want to get as to where things are. So, I want to therefore to thank you for this opportunity, and we are ready to take questions from the floor and explain ourselves. But secondly, we want to indicate to yourselves that indeed we have extended. At this point in time, it is pertinent to have to indicate the value of the contract. The value of the contract that you're speaking about, of the two contracts, is 416 million HK something, the other one is 46. So combined, it's about 416 and 46, about 460 million. I'll provide you with the correct figure that I have them here. So that will be for duration of 12 months. We have combined two contracts to end at the same time. The other one ends 12 months, exactly the other one ends 11 months. So, the cost of the extended contract for 11 months for water valve, the figure is 46,990,715.61. The cost of the extended contract for 12 months for the seven management areas is 410,778,704.78. The budget for this is available. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. We will open it up for discussion. But I will recognize you. I just wish to summarize, Commissioner, what you said so that members can be, and I'm just going to take the high point. We've spoken. When we started, we raised the fact that this matter is not a new matter. From the budget speech of the minister in 2010 to all those other occasions that this matter was there, and we asked the question, why so late? And he indicated that contract management probably didn't do what they should be doing. Had they done what they should be doing, we should have known that this contract would have expired, and we would have known through supply chain management that it takes 6 months and so on. I'm talking about what we've done historically. So that was the one issue that you've raised with us that members must take a note of. The second one that you've raised with us is that you are reaffirming here that the directive of the minister, together with the pronouncements of the portfolio committee, that outsourcing of nutrition is a no-no. You are reaffirming here that we're all in agreement with that. You also hear Commissioner saying to us that DCS shall be ready at the end of this contract. In fact, you're saying you'll have it ready by September. That's what you're saying to us here, because these types of things were things that we will refer back to when we come back here at the end of the time. You are making a commitment. You are agreeing with us that there will be no change of policy in terms of outsourcing is a no-no for nutrition. You've also made an undertaking here, Commissioner, that because you've identified, as I spoke earlier on, that the weakness was in supply chain management and contract management, that there will be an investigation and an audit in terms of contract management that you are going to undertake together with the CMO. And you are saying to us here that there's a steering committee that is in place that is going to ensure that this shall be ready happens. And the final thing that you're raising is that the cooperation of public works, in as far as it must cooperate with this department in the readiness of the kitchens, is crucial. So those are the six areas that we are discussing on this matter, and all of you are here. We're going to open it up to members to then air their views only on those matters, because really, the history is not what I'm interested in. I'm really interested in the going forward and the accountability going forward from here. The history is not going to help us too much, but members are free to talk to the history. So the first thing that I want to say, Ms. Jolingan, that every quarter you will come and account to this committee on the progress. It's going to be a standing item on our quarterly report. That every quarter we'd want to see a Gantt chart that says, these are the seven management areas, kitchens are ready, stuff is being bought in terms of stoves or whatever it is, we want that. And if there is in fact any blockages from public works, we want to know that every quarter so that we don't wait for the end of the term for that. So I'm making that a condition that is not negotiable, that at least every quarter you're going to come and account to us around the readiness. CFO, your contract management. The next time we're meeting is on the 6th of May. We want a report on the state of contract management in this department. We want that because members might not be aware of it. But you know, there's talk of
30,000 consultants or contractors in this department. 30,000. So we want you to give us a audit of your contract management. Who is doing what in that department, for how long, and why is it done by outsiders and not by us? I'm raising this because I'm saying it to DPW. You know that there are leases that were being paid for that we were not even living in, type of. So it's that type of thing that I'm talking about. I'm saying let's learn the lessons from these type of things. Just to contextualize it, Mr. Self, 30,000 contractors, and we've got 46,000 employees. So for every employee, there's a contractor. Commissioner, when you give me a task to do, instead of doing that task, I go and get a consultant to do it on my behalf. That's what it means in reality. This is a serious matter, Sokel. We want a report of who those consultants are, what are they doing, how long are they there, and when are we going to get rid of them? On the 6th of May when you come for your quarterly report on those things. The child will live and everything else, I'll open it up to members. So I'm saying those two things I'm putting on the table as not negotiable. But let's start with the AGM, we'll come to you. You want to say something, AGM?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Honorable Chair, you did ask us what would be the implications of the renewal of this contract. And I just want to, in summary, just set out what we do as the auditors and how this contract is going to affect what we do. Our responsibilities as the auditors is to audit and to report. We audit and report on the financial statements, that is on the presentation and disclosure of the financial statements. We also audit and report on the service delivery, that is the so-called predetermined objectives. We also report on the presentation of that report and also on the fairness thereof, in compliance with the framework as provided by the National Treasury. Thirdly, we also report on compliance or non-compliance with laws and regulations. When it comes to supply chain management, the overriding regulation or law is that of the PFMA, Section 38.1.3, which provides that the accounting officer must ensure that there is a procurement and provisioning system which is fair, which is equitable, which is transparent, which is competitive, and also which is cost-effective. Coupled with that is also the provision of Section 39 of the PFMA, which applies to the budget or budgetary control, which also provides that the accounting officer must ensure that there is no unauthorized expenditure. In other words, there is no overspending of the budget. Coupled to those provisions of the PFMA are the Treasury regulations, Section 9.1.1 of the Treasury regulations, which states that the accounting officer of an institution must exercise all reasonable care to prevent and to detect unauthorized, irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure, and must, for that purpose, implement effective internal controls. Also, Section 9.1, which provides that the accounting officer must take steps to prevent abuse of supply chain management system. Those are the basis for our responsibilities. When we got the request from this committee to give an opinion on the extension of the contract, we had a meeting, we asked for a meeting with this management, which was granted to us, and we met with the management on the 6th of February, where we asked the following questions. Firstly, we wanted to know whether this contract is in fact going to be extended and for how long. We also wanted to know the circumstances surrounding this extension and the reasons thereof. We wanted to know also whether supply chain management laws and regulations had been taken into account in the process so as to prevent the incurring of unauthorized, irregular, and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We also wanted to know whether National Treasury had been involved in the decision to extend this contract and whether other legal implications had been taken into account, which provides for the process to be followed when such extension is being entertained. We received assurance from the officials from management that they had indeed taken the necessary precautions, they had indeed consulted with the relevant legal experts who advised them that they had followed the correct procedure, on which we were satisfied based on the explanations given by the department. But I must point out to you, Honorable Chair, that auditing is unfortunately a historical process, or is a process that relies on historical evidence. We can only audit after the fact. We cannot audit in advance. So while we are satisfied as to the explanations of the department as to what they have done or what they are going to do to make sure that they comply with the laws and procedures, we are actually going to include this in our audit procedures for the year ended 2011-2012, so that when we report at the end of July, as we are supposed to report in terms of our annual reporting, then this will be reported also as part of our findings from our audit of the supply chain management. Thank you.
Thank you, AG. Let's open it up to members for questions. Okay, Gwenya, Matt, Abraham,
Stella, Shah, Sal, and Makagula, and Palis.
Gwenya.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, first, we welcome the explanation from the Commissioner. But, Chair, we feel that this committee, that is not enough. Because the Minister has spoken in her budget speech on 2010 about this nutrition. The whole 2011, we're asking one question from the department. What plans are on place if the contract is ending? Chairperson, the department has failed to give us an answer. Instead, they were coming with presentations on top of the presentation, not coming on what we are asking them. A simple thing. What plan do they have when the contract is finished? We're asking this question out of what the minister has said on her budget speech, but they failed to answer. Now, Chair, today on the explanation of the Commissioner, we are getting that the contract has been extended. The department again failed to come back to us to say, since ever the contract is going to end, this is what is going to happen. The challenges that we are facing is 1, 2, 3 as Commissioner is explaining today. We're supposed to get this explanation checked before they take decision of extending the contract. Now the manager is done. the damage you have done already. What minister has said, iyaphambana na with the department. Somebody is not listening to the minister what he's saying. Because if really they were listening to the speech of the minister, they were supposed to do what the minister is saying about this new situation. There was no plan on place. Today we're getting that the contract has been extended because the department is not ready. The kitchen are not ready. Now, Chair, my question on the readiness of the kitchen. I want to know from the department, what is their relationship with the Department of Public Works? We need to know today who is responsible for the kitchen. If it is the public works also must tell us what makes them delay to fix this kitchen out of the budget speech of the minister. Somebody is not taking us serious. Somebody is not taking even the budget speech whereby the minister talking to the whole country about this. But I found, Chair, that somebody must be responsible for this. The public works, the Department of Correctional Service, they must give us the thorough answer, Chair, and the seriousness of them to work with us on this matter. Because, Chair, you can see that the way is happening, we are saving lots of money of these 7 centers, and we need assistance from both the department and the public works. But it looks like both of them, Chair, they don't take us seriously. In terms of the time frame, the contract that is going to end at 2012, I hear the commissioner is committing himself that they are going to make sure that on 2012 there will be no extension of the contract. I want to know, Chair, I want to hear the assurance from the department that how are we going to believe them? Because time and time the contract is expiring and it's renewed without coming to the portfolio committee. Always you are relaxed. When they do this thing, when they do the extension, They don't come to us, Chair. They come to us always, say, by extending the contract. I think, Chair, that one is not healthy from us as this portfolio committee. Because when we talk about the project, we talk about the project because we want to see that is it this pilot project working or not. So if it is good for the department to come back to us, to say this project is working or not. Not to extend the contract always, but there's no report that is telling us good length of year 7 or Ganya I 7, Kulama Center out 7. To the Audit General report, I want them to assist us how much are we losing, or how much are we benefiting from outsourcing? I want them to assist us on that. Because all these reports that we're getting today, even from the Audit General Chair, we're supposed to get it last year, but we get it today. I don't know, Chair, who... Where did these things? It's a little bit. because we always call the department here, we call even Audit General to assist us, we call the PWA, the Department of Public Works, we even go with the committee to the oversight, but Chetterton, nothing is happening. Absolutely nothing from Public Works. When we go to oversight, we find lot of problems, Chair, that are happening on this contract. They will tell you about the rain, we're not finished because there was the rain, we're not finished because this place was not supposed to be built there, to shift it, we do 1, 2, 3. We didn't add a finish because they raised lot of things, Chetterton, because of holidays. Public Works, please explain to us. When these people make this contract, they're not aware that there's a holiday? They're not aware that there's rain? We don't know. Because the more it's late, the more they add money on their on the money that they've been agreed upon when they start to build a center or whatever. So, Chair, thank you. Other members, they are going to add Chetterton. But Chetterton, maybe...
Mama, can we ask you for later on your contact?
Yeah. Okay, Chair. On the 12-month contract, it shows, Chair, that there's nothing that we can change. I want to agree with you about a quarterly report on the department about the progress of readiness for this nutrition. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mom Gwenya. We're going to ask the department to respond very briefly and we'll take them in that fashion. Really, there was lots of comments and sentiments, but the real questions are... And I want to just change slightly what Ms. Gwenya said. She said we are asking for assistance. We're not asking for assistance. As an oversight body, we are telling Public Works and Correctional Services, we are telling you that you need to cooperate where you need to cooperate, because you're not doing anybody a favor. So we're not asking for assistance, we are telling you to cooperate. What Mam Gwenya wants to know, Commissioner, is what's your relationship with Public Works, because success of this thing depends on your cooperation. So that's the one question directly. The second one is, she needs some assurance that when you say 2012 to 2013, you mean 2012 to 2013 and nothing beyond that, because we seem to get informed after the fact. So that was the second question. And the third question was to the AG asking, what are the cost implications of this matter? You'll all respond. Just those three questions we want responses to. The rest will really comment. And then we'll move on to Mr. Max. If you could answer very briefly, sir.
Thanks, Chairperson. The first one, relationship with Public Works, I did indicate that we met with the acting DG of Public Works on the 3rd of February, 1 o'clock at their offices. The reason being that it is important that at that level with my senior management, Mr. Modise and Mr. Nyamazana, and the DG was accompanied by a senior leadership, some of whom are here, wherein we try to look at the major issues that affect us. A meeting is penciled between myself and the DG so that we can have an exhaustive picture of projects and programs that fall within correctional services in order for us to have a project then to deal with this matter. We must also appreciate that the DG is new. She needs to familiarize herself with the issues at stake. But I also want to indicate that we are also going to assist the Department of Public Works to understand the dynamics that affect us. So on that score, I can confirm on record that we have met with a view to deal with a number of issues, waiting the dependency on Public Works is an issue for us. On the second issue of assurance, as to whether we'll not extend this contract, the answer is clearly there will be no extension of this contract post 2013 January. And I've said that in my statement and my deposition to this committee, that a project plan as delineated by Ms. Jolingana, a copy of which has made responses that steering committee shall meet to provide the first meeting, the first report on the 19th of March, and it indicates clearly as to what issues need to be attended to, that the Nutrition Service Project Steer Committee will be established under her leadership. It will look into the issues of budget. It will look into issues of infrastructural issues in the kitchen and cooler rooms. It will also look into the streams of procurement and management of assets covering the kitchens and equipment and vehicles. It will look into the approval processes of the post-establishment of people that we need to be seconded to the kitchen. It will also look into the recruitment and training of relevant staff required. It will also, amongst others, look into the procurement of perishables. So it's an exhaustive, clearly defined program. Also, to confirm and give assurance, we've made a bold statement here that we shall give quarterly reports as indicated by the chairperson. That assurance is something that we want to live with. On the issues of cost effectiveness, whether there are benefits, Chair, we might be bogged down here on issues of economics. And I want us, with your indulgence, this thing we found it there. For the moment, we're saying we're terminating it. Whether there are benefits out of this is a different issue. The bottom line is that the passion of this committee is that you want to see offender labor being used effectively. I'm unable to go back as to the rationale as to why we entered into contracts of this nature. That's a different debate altogether. Whether that debate and benefits out of this, I will not be able to respond if that is brought to my attention. But I will be able to provide leadership on this matter if we do a cost-benefit analysis going forward on insourcing. That I can provide. What are the benefits thereof? And the spin-offs relating to usage of offender labor. Those are the three questions. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, well, Commissioner, you want to add anything, AJ? If not, it's fine.
Maybe just one thing. When we did discuss with senior management, we did ask the question of the cost implications of the extension, and the response was that the contractor had agreed to extend based on the increase of 2.39 million per month. If you multiply that by 12 months, that would come to something like 24.8 million. That is the information that we got.
Thank you, Chair. If I understand the Commissioner correctly, then it seems to me that the SASA's contract is being confined to the 7 management areas only. So 41 management areas have been dealt with on the previous system. Now, I want to know, what is the significance, or is there any difference? What is the difference which was provided by Bustasa with regard to the rest of the 41 management areas in making food and the project? If there is no difference, we can safely assume it was only created this contract to enrich individuals. The second point is, this 410 million, that the DCS plan provides plan for 410 for the extension. So it means they foresaw that there will be an extension. They work towards an extension, not to the elimination, but towards an extension. Now I want to know, where does this money come from? This 410 million. From what other, components in the department. Your training of staff, Commissioner, you know what is the situation with artisans currently as a result of this poor salary, reduction in salary, when you people restructure the salary structure to the detriment of them.
So are you not going to be confronted by the same problem because these officials need to be trained now and checked or whatever? Will they then fall in that particular category of artisans and you will be confronted with this problem? How are you going to address this issue? You mentioned that this contract is not going to be extended. Was this contract ever in your term or before your term, after you concluded this contract with Musaka? Was it at any stage, was there any extensions or alterations towards this particular contract, which incurred more money from the taxpayer? Which areas you mentioned about certain areas where the kitchens is not ready, areas that kitchens are not ready yet, which areas are those areas, if I understood you correctly? For insourcing, where it's not ready for insourcing. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, the team will respond, but I'll try to show leadership. I indicated in my statement that the outsourcing is affecting the seven management areas that were indicated that were put up there. That's the seven management area, including the water valve. So it's 7+1. But I also indicated up front that outsourcing does not happen in the rest of correctional services. Now, the member of the portfolio committee indicated and rich individuals. I would not steer into that because I was not here when these contracts were put years back. And that I would like to get protection from you, Chair, because I don't want to get into some sort of legal wrangle that I service. As to whether there's enrichment or not enrichment, that's for the court of laws to decide. I was not here. I did indicate if I was here before, the merits of creating contracts is subject that you decide as management and you are informed by the preconditions of what is on the floor. With regards to the training of staff, I've left the budget issue aside. With the training of staff, I've indicated in my document here that indicates the project plan. It is common knowledge, chairperson and members of the portfolio committee, we have trained people in the past in nutrition. And therefore, the CDC Department of Care will do an audit of all the people that were trained and check where they are and where there is a need for us to retrain and create conditions for them to be absorbed back. That would be something that we deal with because I've indicated here that the recruitment and training of relevant staff is essential. So it's part of the whole scenario that we're painting. Areas that are not ready, we can provide to ourselves kitchens that are not ready, but I did indicate on my own behalf that I visited one of the management areas at the 7 Kruger's that it is not ready. To get into a discussion as to which are ready or not ready, yes, it is true, it is correct. It is our responsibility to give you an audit and a list of the centers that are ready. And I must hasten to this committee to indicate that in the pre-discussion that we have had, that in any organization there are new things that you want to bring into the fore. One thing that I wanted to inculcate in the leadership core is that when we say we're not ready, what do we mean? Because it's a bold statement. Is it 35, 25, 75, 100%? Now, the audit that is going to be given to us on the meeting that is scheduled for the 20th of March, it will give us the exact state of readiness and unreadiness. If we're operating at 25%, it must say 25% in which area? The 75% that we are not able to do, what are the constraints thereof? Because to make bold statements that we're not ready does not help. Because we need to be able to pinpoint and zoom to those areas and provide leadership and also assistance to the leadership that says, these are the areas and the streams, work streams that need to be attended to. That we shall provide because we have made that commitment. Because once you are able to track the areas that need to be, it is easier for you from the Gantt chart that you speak about to put timelines and accountability for people to deliver. I hope, Chair, that I will respond to the Chair, the CFO will respond to the budget issue. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of the budget issue, firstly, I would like to state clearly why do we exist in that situation? That's the question. Why do we exist? It's to look after the issue. What does that mean? We've made the provision of keeping the money. So, the provision of, we made a provision in terms of personnel under the compensation of employees. We made the provision under the goods and services. And also we made the provision under the capital assets. But Chairperson, I would like to state clear that the provision as we have, it's not because of outsourcing. Because at the moment we are outsourcing, we can take from those provisions that we already made. It's over the MTF, it's there, irrespective that we're going to outsource or not outsourcing, but the provision will be already. That is where we are at this point in time, Chairperson. I would like to highlight something as well. If this committee will remember when it comes to the, in terms of how we maintain our teaching and all those things, the Chairperson will remember that we don't understand because some of the courses that should be maintaining those teaching, it's sitting there. So the provision is already there. But it's not just its own earmarked for our process.
No, thank you very much. Just to emphasize, I think Mr. Max's point, Mr. Linga, and I think the National Commissioner said it. When you come and present your quarterly report, we don't want a global report that says state of readiness is 80%. We want to know on the 7+1. Johannesburg, this is where we're at, this is what we want. So that will then assist us in making sure that Mr. Max's questions are taken care of. Mr. Max, you
sorry, Chair. My question with regards to what is the difference between the services provided by, or currently being provided by BASASA and the other 41, the in-source, the outsourced versus in-source. What is the difference, you know, between those? That question is not answered.
Chairperson, perhaps if we may go back into historical aspects, the management centers that are under discussion, Paulsmoor, Johannesburg, Waterfall, those are big centers. And you would recall that those are centers in the main whose demographics in terms of population of inmates has increased. At the time, I would like to believe, management thought the extension of number of people that are able to deal with this, they needed some professional team to work on those. If you look at Johannesburg, the population of inmates is around 10,000. And that facility is earmarked for less than that. The magnitude and the scope to deal with offenders dealing with that, it needed therefore an expansion of the kitchen, expansion of services. The same applies to Paulsmoor. You have a population of 8,000 inmates. The same applies to Devon Westfield. Also, you have a population of about 8,000 people. And these are management centers that are huge. As to whether the rationale to outsource is the correct one, a different story. But I must indicate that the services in other centers where in our inmates are providing service is equal or the same. We must also bear in mind that in all those centers that I've mentioned, our inmates are working. In some, you have visited Paulsmoor. You have seen that there are places, you have seen the report. But the major paradigm shift that we have to deal with is to move away from this concept that other people can do it for ourselves, for us. We should do it for ourselves. Now, that is why I don't want to hold the previous administration accountable and
and put them on the spot. The fact of the matter is that the matter is before us. It is this management, therefore, that must move back and create that frontier of creating capacities in our management. Hence, in the document that is going to be provided to yourself, is to do an in-depth audit of the equipment that is currently used. Because in the main, we are the ones who are providing the labor. In the main, we may have certain competencies that are lacking. It is in those competencies that we need to excel and create capacity. And I sincerely believe that it's nothing like rocket science here. And this leadership here, led by Ms. Jolingana and I and the team, will be able to work together. We're not putting the responsibility on one single person. We are saying that audit should be able to elevate these issues to our level and be able to identify the gaps in the process. Why we are able to deal with the other 41 management of 240 facilities? That's the question that you ask. It's a rhetoric question, but yes, the decision that we're taking, that insourcing, it'll be across the whole organization. Is that what we are committing ourselves to? Thanks, Chair.
All right. Mr. Abraham, followed by Shah, Self, Makagula, Paliso, and then we'll allow DPW to comment. Limited, over to them. Limited just to these seven initially, but we will afford you an opportunity to do that at some point. Abhivar?
I'm just inquiring, Chair. First, I should apologize on my behalf of the Minister's behalf. There's cabinet going on there. So, but we thought it was very important that you sit at the end of the day. And I'll be guided by you as to when do I enter the debate. Or assist the department to answer whatever, or add whatever.
What is it about you?
No, and I'm saying I'll be guided by you if in order that I make a comment.
No. I'm sure members are not.
Briefly, I think we're dealing with correctional services, but let me say, generally, there are some of us who are now ministers, deputy ministers, who don't want government to be run on the basis of tender as a rule. So, because it is just too. The money that's supposed to go to the actual production goes elsewhere. In other words, it pays other people. The Kosati talks about labor brokers. They don't want labor breakers. You might have the same tendency in government around the country. So I'm just making a point that we are going to do our best in this particular instance, on this one, to make sure that in line with that's all I want to say for now. And I'm sure we will stick to the arrangements we are making, the commitments we are making. From a ministry level, we will make sure that this is to happen. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, DM. Meneer Abraham.
Baie dankie, voorzitter. Chairperson, I must say that I've got a lot of empathy for the commissioner and his team. But, you know, as they say, one can say that I've come into this, but now, unfortunately, if you take the trappings and you have to draw the coach. Chairperson, there are a number of issues that actually come out of this. Now, I hear all the positive things. It sounds very positive to my ear that the commissioner plans. My problem is I've heard so many positive things on paper in the past, not only in this committee but elsewhere too. 6 months, a year, 2 years, even 10 years down the line, I've seen precious little changing. Now, what I would like to know from the commissioner is, he has said that contract management and supply chain management regulations are not being adhered to. Now, if they are not being adhered to, there is a warm body there that is not adhering to it. It's not a machine or some abstract thing. What are we doing to that warm body? Because that warm body has signed a contract. And the terms of the contract dictate that the warm body shall carry out certain functions. How many DC cases have you had where you found that supply chain management regulations are not being adhered to? Secondly, Chairperson, I hear that the Commissioner is very passionate about the fact that come January 31st, 2013, we shall not see a single plate of food provided by outsourcing. That's what I've heard. Now, Chairperson, I want to just caution you that unless those warm bodies are all going to do their job, and you being the accounting officer are not going to take action if anybody fails, you will not reach that target. As passionate as you are, because you're dependent on others to help you to reach it, what plans are you going to put in place to achieve that? Chairperson, this business of a quarterly report, a 90-day report, I would like to go one step further. There are not many centers involved here. We've got members of this committee, as well as other members of parliament. I mean, as a member of parliament, you are not just supposed to be doing the work of the committees and portfolios that you belong to. I mean, as a member of parliament, if a springbok comes down the road here and says, Mr. Smith, I want to speak to you, he's one of your citizens, he must talk to you. So we should dedicate some of the MPs, and I'll be the first one to volunteer, to visit a particular center once in 2-3 months, to see whether, and there the commissioner must lay down what he's expecting from each center, because you must measure it against the target. There must be a vision, there must be a target, so that we can measure against the target as portfolio committee whether it's happening or not. Chairperson, you know, sometimes they say that you forget the past, but you know, I can't forget certain parts of our history, you know. I come from an era where, you know, people that looked like me were not permitted to live in the Free State. And if you don't drive through the Free State by nightfall, you're in trouble, you'll be locked up. So, I may forget certain things, but I can't forget things that happened that impacted on my future. Likewise, Chair, when we look at what happened, the information I have is that a meeting was held at the Krugersdorp management area in April 2011, where discussions took place about the future of the contract and the state of readiness if the contract is terminated on the 31st of January 2012. And from the month of May 2011, apparently readiness reports were already submitted. Now, I've heard the argument about the fact that if we had not done ABCD, we may have had riots by inmates after the 31st of January. The information I also have is that some of these facilities were ready. And in any case, at the moment, the contractor is cooking food at some of these centers. Now, Chairperson, this means that that center has a kitchen facility and the other ancillary facilities that are required in order to purvey food. The question is, between May and January, when a number of readiness reports, I believe, had been submitted, why was it necessary that only in January 2012 do we have the adjudication committee or whatever committee that now has to suddenly make a decision? Now, Chairperson, why I'm going into this history is that there is poor or bad planning, that the inputs that were supposed to have come from every area, I don't know what was the quality of the input. I don't know whether that input was made after that particular center had looked at every avenue to try and reach the target date. And Chair, it makes the mind boggle that in 2010, when we were in the stage of World Cup, we had timelines. And by Jove, we abided by those timelines, and we presented one of the best World Cups ever. And yet, we need to spend much lesser money to get the facility going. And it was not done. Finally, Chair, you see, the contractor is getting an additional benefit. If the market price of a particular ingredient is, say, X, and we as DCS, and Chairperson, this committee knows full well, you know, I'm a farmer. I've always said that you try to become as self-sufficient as possible. And I have not seen the department dedicatedly coming forward and saying that this is what we would like to do to expand our activities so that we can grow our own food. Unfortunately, that has not happened up to now. The budgets for that kind of activity seem to be on the back burner. We are not very serious about it. You see, Chairperson, the other issue regarding this is that the contractor is purchasing certain ingredients that we are producing, not at a market-related price. They claim it is market-related. But when I look at a whole list of the ingredients that they utilize, a whole list, I have determined, I just want to talk of two commodities. I have determined that pork is acquired at 27, 28 rand from other suppliers, but the department is paid 20 rand 95 for each pork. Now, I don't want to talk of grapes and all that, but there's already a difference. And another commodity I want to talk of is cabbage, where the department is paid 1 rand 10, and it is, these people are getting from their normal suppliers, the vegetable merchants, at 2 rand 95 a kilo. So, in effect, these guys that wanted an additional 2.39 million rand per month, I don't know whether we have the kind of negotiators that were willing to negotiate better prices for our products, that we can offset the difference. Bottom line, Chair, my late father taught me one thing. My boy, in those days it was pennies. If you don't look after your pennies, they will never become shillings. And if you don't look after the shillings, they'll never become pounds. I expect that same principle to be applied by the department. And Chair, a company, a business, which had a good result, and the CEO was asked, what do you ascribe it to? The reply was a simple one. We decided to listen to our customers. And good things come out of listening, because that brought the good result. Thank you, Chair.
Let's start with the last one. Ms. Reiner talked to us, Ms. Zolinger, and talked to us
Mudli talk to us, you and the adjudication panel, talk to us about this issue of the supplier getting product from our labor at a cheaper price than they would get normally out in the market. Have you guys raised this matter at all with them, or are you hearing it for the first time? I'm asking you because you are part of the adjudication panel. Is this a matter, Ms. Steiner, that you are hearing for the first time, or was this a matter, according to what Mr. Abrams is saying, that you used as part of your negotiations? Anybody, Mr. Sokela, you are part of that. Commissioner, I don't want you to answer it. I want them to answer it first, because the adjudication panel is supposed to be independent. They're supposed to be independent to the commissioner, so I want to know what you said, and near the commissioner, the committee will decide whether we think you did the correct thing. The question is, what is Mr. Abrams is saying? Is that a reality? And if it is a reality, how did you guys deal with it? Or is it not part of your jurisdiction? Anybody in the adjudication panel?
Chairperson, if I can, the CFO will be able to add. I think the critical element to understand in relation to this is that those conditions are part of the original contract. The contract that was signed in 2009, my twist of the year. So those issues would have been dealt with at that stage. They were certainly not part of the issues of the extension of the contract at this point in time. But the CFO may want to clarify.
That's fine. We just want to get that understanding, because what we're hearing, Mr. Abram, is that at the time, it meant that if you can get something from correctional services cheaper than you can get it from the market in West Street, go ahead and do it. That is what we're understanding you guys to be saying. And that is going to have problems, Commissioner, because that's exploitation, MD. I mean, DM, that is exploitation, because we are providing food for somebody. That person is benefiting from the tender, is benefiting also from the fact that he's getting the raw material cheaper than he would have normally got that raw material. So we don't have to discuss it. It's something that we will have to consider how we take this forward. But can you, let me just remind you of the others. Contract management and supply chain management, Commissioner, what are you doing with those that are deviating from that? What are you doing to ensure that all these lofty ideas and things, noble ideas that we're all agreeing to, Commissioner, are going to be achieved because you rely on other people to help you? What is it that we're going to do around the readiness of these seven areas in particular? And then talk to us about a meeting that happened in Krugersdorp in April that spoke about this readiness, and reports would have been sent somewhere about these readinesses. Then, in certain areas, the kitchens are ready. The service provider is still cooking in kitchens that are ready and should be taken over by, or could be taken over by,
using a lot of equipment to help them cook.
By DCS. If you can answer those four questions in any order, then we'll move on. Commissioner.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Contract management and supply chain management, in my opening statement, I did indicate that we are doing an investigation on contract management. I want to re-emphasize and reinforce it that that's what we're doing. The same would apply to supply chain management to create an environment of accountability. But most importantly, I need to indicate that there have been cases of disciplinary actions against members of contract management and supply chain management. A case in point is the CFO will come in here, somebody who stole money in the supply chain management. It's because of the weaknesses in the system. So processes are taking place. But I have learned to be cynical since joining this organization on issues of reports. And that's not the way to start, but it helps to be cynical. Because the reports are reports for the sake of reports. I want to refer to the meeting that you are referring of Krugersdorp. State of readiness, yes. That's what they say in report. But if you don't walk the center and see yourself,
a report to reflect what you want to hear and say. I've said to the leadership here, we should walk the talk and go to centers. A case in point, portfolio committee members, you recall there were issues about the problems in Krugersdorp. Chair, you raised this issue about sexual harassment in Krugersdorp, the state of the kitchen in Krugersdorp. I can assure and confirm, after you have made that statement, I went there myself. Because this report will also reflect something that they don't want to be investigated. I want to refute that the Krugersdorp facility, whatever meeting, it was a meeting of convenience of people trying to put bread or fish into cover-up. Krugersdorp, I walked there myself, Chairperson. I was there in Krugersdorp on the 18th and the 19th of January. It is not ready. Therefore, we need to be learning to, from the experiences that we have of this department, that information that we get in most cases will not reflect the reality on the ground. Unless leadership is hands-on, reports will be there. And I therefore inculcate the spirit and trust in my leadership that whatever report that is issued is substantive and be able to work on its own. In order to emphasize this particular phenomenon, the National Treasurer and the Auditor General can confirm my CFO on the issues of audit. He is not waiting for reports to come from the regions. They can confirm. He goes to those regions himself to understand what are the issues and the problems that we have in those facilities. For us to achieve a clean audit and an unqualified audit, it will not come from simple reports. My expectations of my CFO is that he should be able to understand the problems and provide leadership and guidance on the issues that are on his table. I therefore want to say that we have discussed the issues of report, state of readiness. We are saying to yourselves here, that time has gone past. Leadership, Ms. Jolinga and I will be able to go and ourselves, and I appreciate the fact that it's 7 management areas, centers, we can go and visit them. In our schedule of the day, you can schedule a time to go and visit one thing, not visit the inmates, just to see that particular aspect and see, have a feel and touch. And also discuss with the members of Department of Public Works, contractors on site, to have a sense as to how far they're going to be able, what bottlenecks they have. Now, I just want to indicate that the mail readiness is very subjective, but we are reporting to ourselves here physically as a National Commissioner. That was not true. Now, we shall be overhauling those units and create substantive leadership capability. The investigation that is taking place with respect to contract management and also supply chain management reinforcement, and we need to hasten that in the office of the CFO, we now have a unit that is, compliance? Internal control, which was not there. Because it is this instrument that will be able to help the CFO to be able to execute his mandate. So, Chair, with respect to self-sufficiency that has been indicated by the member here, we've always advocated that we need to establish a trading entity, which we shall discuss with National Treasury, because that's where the tariffs are discussed, because he cannot just sell at any price that we decide. Tariffs are set. The interstore sales of goods, for example, potatoes to another center, it is based on the tariff that we agree upon. But certainly we want to create an instrument that is able to create self-sufficiency in the organization and reduce the input of the fiscal. Because if we are able to get revenue from some of these projects that we have, the workshops producing furniture, agriculture that produces food, across the whole spectrum we should be able to have benefits and the spillover and an ability for us to reduce our costs with respect to maintenance of inmates. I want to indicate that the quota report supplemented by visits are most welcome. That's what we need to do in order for us to work on this problem that we have. In the main, that's the passion that we have, but passion on its own does not stand. It must be accompanied by effective leadership on the ground, which we want to provide to the portfolio committee. Thanks, Chair.
Mr. Abrams, are you comfortable? I didn't hear. Maybe you covered it
Mr. Abrams indicates that all these good things that you're talking about really relies on you being able to have a team that you are able to take along with you. Because, and you did indicate earlier on that some of the problems that you have is not because there's lack of vision, but there's lack of willingness to implement. I think that's what he was asking. That, maybe there's a comment, and maybe there's a comment that you will take to heart. It's fine. All right. Thank you very much. Let's go to then Mr. Shah, and then Mr. Self, and then Makakula. Shah.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you so much. Thank you, Chair. I must admit I'm encouraged by what I hear from the Commissioner in terms of his vision for the future of this department. He rightfully identified the kitchen as the engine room of the operations facilities and center. And by way of analogy, it doesn't matter how beautiful the car is, if the engine doesn't work, you have a problem. And now this might sound harsh, and I don't intend it that way. If you don't maintain the engine and service it regularly, you end up with massive problems in carrying costs. In this instance, it is clear that it was the responsibility of the Department of Public Works to maintain equipment within this correctional facility. The fact that we sit with the dilemma means that there is a lack of cohesion and understanding between these two departments as to whose responsibility is the one. If equipment was maintained efficiently, then we would not have had to incur these expenses that we have. I may be wrong. Having said that, that's one area that we need to focus on and negotiate. It also seems very clear that project management and the supply chain management issues are not dealt with effectively, and that also contributed towards the need to actually renew this contract. Because you see that there are delays in completion of the projects, these 137 that you identified during the period of which Basasa was providing these services. And the question is, what is the cause of all these delays? Why is it, was it intentionally done in order to secure an extension? That's my question. Because I can't understand why a kitchen cannot be painted with a floor done within the course of a year. And in some instances, as we speak now, Chairperson, some of the equipment actually, they say in the report that it's outstanding. Why is equipment outstanding when they're going to spend, they're going to pay you this money, and this is what needs to be done? So as we speak, they say equipment is outstanding. What mitigating action has the department taken in order to ensure that things are, things are put in place timelessly? My concern is in the report it says that medium-age juveniles would be, that facility would be completed by August 2013, and the commissioner says there will be no extension and everything will be done in-house. If history is anything to go by, what if this part of the project is not completed by August 2013? Then are they going to ask for another extension for a particular facility? Without having to say too much, finally, there's something that I want to pick on. Chairperson, in this report of the 16th of February, provided by the Department of Public Works, the DDG, General for Asset Investment Management, in this report, he makes an observation. And I think we, as a committee, need to focus on this and actually get a clear answer and so that we can understand what this whole contract was about. In this report, it states that the DCS indicated its intent to outsource nutritional services in one of the client liaison forums, but this intent was not attributed to the condition of the state of the kitchen equipment in the correctional facilities. He also indicated that no formal letter was received by the accounting officer of DPW providing the reason for these outsourcing. The question will be two here. One is, who was that official who made this indication that there is an intention to outsource?
And when was this indication made? In the, when did this client liaison forum actually meet where this indication was made? Because it would seem that there was an intent to actually outsource, but it wasn't entirely due to the deterioration that had taken place within the kitchen of the facility. Thank you.
I'm not aware of the report you're talking about.
Yeah.
Can you maybe give us the date or tell us, have we got that report?
Yeah, this is a report dated 16 February.
Commissioner, you're aware of the report. When I say you, I'm saying when you guys respond to it, you'll respond to that report. Can somebody just give that to the Commissioner? Because so that when they respond to it, they respond.
Can you get this and make a copy for the Commissioner?
No, but people seem to have it. There seems to be more than one available. We'll make copies if necessary.
So, Chair, if I may clear myself.
Yes, I'm just, I want you just to clarify on that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
It says that the client, a client liaison forum meeting took place in which the DCS indicated its intention to outsource this nutritional services at that meeting. But it did not say that this was, in other words, this was not attributed to the condition of state of the kitchen. Now, how did they determine that? And according to the accounting office of DPW, that they didn't receive any letter or any reasons were given for the outsourcing at that stage. Now, when did that meeting take place, and what gave the accounting office, the DPW, the impression that the outsourcing has nothing to do with the deteriorated condition, kitchens or equipment?
Now I'm with you. Commissioner, you don't have to respond to that one. We did allow DPW an opportunity later on. It's your letter that you wrote. We had written a letter to you saying to you, do you understand the implications of your not coming to the party in terms of cost? And this was your response. So when you respond, please respond to that one. So you don't have to do it next, Commissioner. I was just confused when you were saying DCS reported, but it's DPW, they will respond to it. But nevertheless, the cooperation between DPW and DCS, if you want to elaborate, I think you have touched it. The supply chain, was there a deliberate delay? Is there a deliberate delay so that this thing can be extended, if you want to talk to that one? And then the last one will come to you, but when you afford an opportunity, DPW, to respond. Commissioner, do you want to respond to supply chain management and to cooperation between the two entities?
Thanks, Chair. Indeed, the kitchens are the engine of our mandate. I've indicated in my statement that we have already started an engagement process with Public Works, and that is confirmed here, and that for me is a good signal that we want to work towards the same objective. Other meetings are penciled, and that we'll be able to deal with this matter. On project management, I need to concur that that's the weakest part of the organization, because if you don't have a strong project management team, we will not be able to achieve some of the issues that we intend to have. Whether there was an intentional objective for the delays, I am not sure, Chair. That will be part of the investigation. So I cannot preempt as to what the outcome would be. Suffice to indicate that if information of this nature came to your attention that in the meeting of Krugersdorp, kitchens were ready and Krugersdorp is not ready, then it indicates nefarious intentions behind the whole thing. Why equipment is outstanding is part of project management. To understand when the kitchen is upgraded, you need to be able to have a flow chart to deal with the floors, to deal with the painting, to deal with the equipment and the utensils. And the order with which these items are brought in should not encumber the process of the kitchen functioning. The case in point I want to cite was Devon Westville. The equipment was delivered, but the floors were not ready and the walls were not painted. So it's the sequencing of some of these processes which I should think we need to deal with. With respect to the letter of the 16th of February, I think, Chair, we have protested as we cannot respond to that. I should think it was a direct communication between yourselves and the Public Works. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fell.
Thank you, Chairperson. The National Commissioner has been disarmingly frank today, and it's very difficult to get angry with him because he wasn't responsible for much of this. But he also said that he doesn't really want to go into the history. But I'm afraid the history is very much part of this contract. And I mean, you cannot deal with what is going on with the contract now without dealing with it in its historical context. And I mean, this contract didn't start in 2006 either. It started in 2004. And there was a contract for the original seven, which had been, which would have finished at the end of 2007. And that contract was extended for a year because the department wasn't ready to do what was needed to do to take back the function of catering. And Mrs. Moody came and briefed the portfolio committee on the 19th of August of 2008, giving reasons why it was not possible for the department to take back the function, but that they were committed to self-sufficiency and taking back these functions and so on and so forth. You also have to look at why originally, in 2004, the contract was outsourced in the first place. And it says the department does not have the facilities or the infrastructure to continue with meal preparation while closing down the current kitchens for upgrading. The department does not have access to suitable training programs that are accredited by the authoritative bodies. Because the department does not have access to suitable training programs, it is experiencing staff shortages and courses are not structured to meet critical needs, and the department does not have controlled computerized meal planning systems. I asked the department, what has changed since 2004? Because all the reasons, putative reasons, for the extension of the contract seem to be identical as when we started in 2004. And my colleagues have said, in the absence of some rational reason why this contract was awarded, was extended, was re-awarded, was re-extended, seem to point to a vested interest which I think the department has not yet got to the bottom of. And the commissioner, as I said, was disarmingly frank. He said that senior management was told a lie. I would suggest to him they were told a lot of lies. And we don't know yet how many lies were told. And that is why when the commissioner comes here today and says that this is the contingency plan, this is the procedures that are being put in place, and this is the targets for completion, we applaud that because it's forward-looking and it's seeking to manage it properly. But I would suggest to you, sir, that what is required here is a proper inquiry to find out why it was that this contract was commissioned in the first place, why it was extended, why it was re-awarded, and why it's being re-extended, because I promise you I had very great difficulty in accepting that it was only in November of 2011 that senior management only fully became aware of the department's incapacity to insource the services that were formerly outsourced. I'm afraid it just doesn't add up. And so in addition to quarterly reports, the commissioner mentioned a series of investigations that he was going to be involved in, including into the contract management process, including into people who had not told the entire truth, the questions of buying food at lower prices than the market. I honestly believe that what is required here is not only management of this problem going forward, but also a serious retrospective to find out what exactly went on in the award and re-award of this contract. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Commissioner, two areas. What has changed significantly from the original reason to now? And secondly, a suggestion that some retrospective inquiry be done.
Chairperson, I'm not a denialist of history. I want to contextualize this when I said what happened in the past, especially on this, not that I want to put it aside. Perhaps to clarify that hindsight always is a good science. If I was there, I could have done this. But I want to give my predecessors a benefit of the doubt that when they did this, there were reasons for having this contract. My fear of going back in the past was precisely because I don't know the genesis. Why are we in the first place providing nutrition? The 2004, we had Kuseni, for example, a Kuseni contract in 1996. Now, what I want to indicate that the 2004-2008 extension of contracts as they are, I have interest also to know what was the rationale, just to have a historical perspective. But suffice to indicate that, as I said, being cynical also helps because you are able to work outside the box and say, is this report what it proclaims to be? But it will also help us to be able to assess what has gone wrong and what measures we want to put in place. My suggestion is that once, as we continue doing an investigation on contract management per se, we'll be able to find a number of things that have gone all wrong there. The other issue that we might find is that the people in contract management might not be competent as they're supposed to be. Because common sense has taught me that some people have grown through the ladder career simply being there for a number of years but not trained professionally. And they may not know the intricacies of supply chain management, and they may not know understand contract management per se. And I've indicated there is a need for us to overhaul middle and senior management so that we don't have round heads in square holes. Because that's what is happening in the organization. And for the leadership that is being provided, especially in development and care, is identification of core skills that are linked with this. Because more often we have found people working in those environments which don't fit the profile of the job description at stake. And we may be as harsh as we want, but the fact of the matter is that that investigation will also give us a sense as to how to structure the organization to deliver on its mandate. Now, you're right by indicating that we only got the reality of the story in November when she went to say, let's go deeper into this matter. That's when it was elevated to ourselves to find that we are not ready. The state of readiness is a simple panacea to problems that were there that will solve this problem. But I sincerely believe that with the leadership that we have here and the audits that we are conducting and, of course, the investigation, we'll be able to get at the bottom of this. Because it does not help us to look into this matter continuously. We need to have an end state to this matter. So. And we believe that the measures that were put in place are sufficient enough to provide us with leadership. I cannot make further comments on this precisely because it's historical. But in its historical nature, we learn new things that we might not have known because leadership is now on the cold face of this issue that we're dealing with. I don't have full responses, but an appreciation of the comments that were given to us and to take those comments bravely on the chin and say we'll deal with these matters appropriately as it is. Because they're being elevated to us to be able to be armed further to deal with matters of this nature in the future. Thanks.
Commissioner, can we ask you to supply us with the names of all the individuals that work in your supply chain management department, the names of all the individuals that work in your contract management department? You know, when the President speaks to me, and to very many members of the ANC, Commissioner, we jump. And the President said in the State of the Nation address, these individuals will be vetted. That's what the President said in the State of the Nation address. These individuals will be vetted. So we want the names of everybody in your supply chain management and everybody in your contract management. We want to know their names and how long they've been there. Because let me say it, to all of you that are here. Commissioner, some of these individuals that are working in those type of departments would refuse promotion. Would refuse promotion up the ladder because it's more lucrative
to be in charge of supply chain management, because that's where the real money is made. So that is why I'm saying, give me the name and give me how long that individual is there. I'm sure if you talk to the Auditor General or anybody else, when we were doing auditing, we were told that there must be rotation. You can't be the credit manager for all your life. Or you can't be the whatever for all your life, because that's where you hide these things. So we want to know the names of all these individuals. How long have they been there? We want that for our own purposes. You will do whatever management you want to do with it, but we want it for our own purposes so that we can take it forward, please. And we would need that sooner rather than later. It shouldn't be too difficult to give us those names, because you have got them somewhere. Please, of all those individuals. Maka Gulaba.
Thank you, Chief. I think you're going to give me time and not interrupt me, because the DA is having more members here, and all of them, they are speaking. I say that as a politician. They are more than their seat, and all of them, they want to speak.
We'll have the political discussion. Carry on,
I need a protection, Chairperson. Chair, we do have documents that speak about Bosasa and the like. And no one here in the House, including the Commissioner, no one who wanted this. No one. You get it from his response, he's responding very well. Doesn't want this. And also, I don't think also the Commissioner will not be with the minister, because the minister is speaking out about this. Actually, the minister doesn't want the Bosasa thing. But here he is. He said, I was at the Kruger store, and I see myself. And remember that the commissioner is new in the department. And some of the things, we can't speak about it, because some of the things are sub judice. So, the commissioner said, we are not ready. We like it or not, we are not ready, because the commissioner tell us that we are not ready. We want out of Bosasa, then there is a chaos in prison, in the correctional system. And then, yes, we can come with documents and say whatever that we want to say. But the fact is coming from the commissioner. We are not ready. And indeed, for us to keep on waiting, then we make this, they extend. Not that they were having a willing to extend. Indeed, Chair, I agreed with you that this 2030, January 2030, even them, they say so, that on January, the first January 13, this issue of Bosasa, it will be away. Let us work in the, I agree with you, Chairperson, when you say, let them come every quarter month to come and report to us how far, because before they were not prepared. Indeed, if you want to crucify the commissioner, you can crucify him, but he's new in the department from 2010. And then some other matters of this Bosasa thing, they are also in court. And commissioner can't tell us all, because maybe he will just put the steps where it's unnecessary to put his feet. So we can keep on speaking. It's good when we speak. We are the politician, we can show documents. But the fact of the matter, we are not ready. That is the matter, that is the bottom line. And commission, he did that. And commissioner said to us, very clear, on January 2013, this matter of Bosasa will be no matter. So, Chairperson, I said, we can't just keep on speaking one thing as if we don't understand. Very correct and clear. We support what the commissioner did, because we don't want chaos back there. We don't want chaos in our correctional centers. We support what the commissioner did. And we are carrying forward to say away with this thing of Pusasa on 2013 commission. Then we will ask you questions, because you tell us now that will be away. It will be the matter of Pusasa will be away of it. So on after 2013 issue, after January 2013 issue, we will ask you why you extend the commission. But now, Chair, yes, we can just speak in this thing. We know a lot of things. The intimidate, but you intimidate me. I'm speaking. Okay. Yeah, but the chair also, you have to. Ukhombe subabulu, kutanga indicate uma ngikhuluma. Well. What I can say
to you, please continue about Kapu. Kubeka Putuan.
I know you're trying to intimidate me. But Chairperson, I'm already intimidated by Babundo. But the fact of the matter, there is nothing that we can do. We support what the commissioner did. I thank you, Chair.
Let us qualify the commissioner. Makagula is saying we support what you have done on condition that all these prerequisites that you've made are carried out. I think that's what he's saying. That going forward, you give us those quarterly reports, you do all those things that you are doing. Your undertaking of 2013 is where he feels this committee must step in and step in ruthlessly. That's what he's saying. I'm not sure if you want to comment on that. If you don't want to, then we'll move to Palisa. If you want to comment on it, it's fine. Otherwise, Palisa, but
I think it's all in order for us to thank and appreciate the word of support in the manner with which we handle this matter. We want to thank you, Mr. Cheng. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Commissioner. First thing, you did not inherit a clean slate. That's the first thing. Secondly, there is a team. The Busasa slate was not a clean one and is not a clean one. But I must point to the service level agreement of DPW and DCS. It is clear there is no appetite in DPW to deliver service to correctional service. And in correctional services, there are individual officers who do not have appetite to deliver or appetite to be officials who do not combat corruption. To me, it's one of the members covered me in terms of the letter between DCS and, I don't go to that one. Service provider is giving advice to the department, is giving options. Because this department has too many consultants. What is the job description of the officer? Especially those in management, especially those who lead units in the department. If we are going to be led by consultants who calculate profit, service, but they've got a very beautiful name, service provider. They calculate their profit, that's why they are giving us options of 12 months, 8 to 24 months. there is no appetite in this service provider to end this contract by 2013. Not at all, because they are giving us already their options of 24 months beyond 2013. What I want also, Commissioner, while you are here, to know that in all portfolio committee members, we are talking about minimize this consultant. You can't be consultant driven, because consultants don't care about the PFMA. Section 39, Section 40. No, they got nothing to do with accounting officers. They count their profits. The evaluation committee is supposed to have a checklist. The person who is leading the evaluation committee is supposed to have a checklist, and that checklist must indicate early warning signs. Why is this not happening? The team has no appetite. Chairperson, what I do not get is, I really need to know, I'm tempted to say, Commissioner, do we have officials in supply chain management, National Commissioner, who do business with Department of Correctional Services? I say, it's DPW, there is no department. We can't, from 2004, 2012, they couldn't manage to maintain, to upgrade, to give DCS the necessary kitchens. And all those portfolio committees, since 1999 till today, it's not just DCS, it's also DPW. There is no appetite, or otherwise there is no department. It's just a department in name. DPW is just a department in name. There are individuals also there, conniving with individuals in correctional services. Busasa is an animal. We are back to square one. It's not your fault, Commissioner. You inherited this slate that is not clean. You have given me peace of mind by responding to say there are investigations. But I want to say, as portfolio committee, we do not want to be informed by the media. We want to be informed by the reports of DCS, not by the media. Because the media is giving us conflicting information. They confuse us. Because we are doing this budget vote, and they are giving us something else when they give us the information of DCS. But I'm covered, Chairperson, many of my colleagues did cover me. But I really need to say, Commissioner, we must not lose any case of those investigations, because we also have a history of losing the cases against individuals. But the Chairperson covered me when he was saying that we must have the names of those who are leading these different units. Ngobanyani, for us, is unacceptable. His or her own money, he will never waste it like this. Never ever. Even those in DPW, they will never waste their own money when they are renovating or upgrading their kitchen. They will never allow a service provider in their own homes, their own pockets, to waste money like that. This is a waste of state coffers money. I thank you, sir.
Thank you, Susan. What is the role of management if we rely so much on service providers? Evaluation committee checklists. Are there officials doing business with the Department of DCS? that the committee would rather be informed by a report as opposed to be informed through the media. And commissioners, the competency of whatever disciplinary body that you are putting in place. That we don't find a situation where people are either going to be in DCS suspended for 20 years because the committee hasn't investigated, or take us to court and win it because we have failed in one procedure or the other. Those are the issues that Mam Palisho has raised. Over to you, Mam.
Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks, Mam Palisho. All I could say to appreciate the comments, but most importantly, is to look into the issue of minimizing the number of consultants in our environment. We did allude to the portfolio committee in the past that we're doing all what we can to reduce the number of consultants. And we'll show cause to this effect. The most vulnerable area that we had a lot of consultants was in IT. We can report positively here that we have reduced the number of consultants from 85 to 40. We're doing an audit as to the skill sets that are necessary for the consultants that are there. We also want to report to yourselves that the new GITO, Government Information Technology Officer, who has joined us recently, is doing an audit in terms of the skill sets. Secondly, you have a problem when the organization is overwhelmed by consultants because they ultimately take decisions on your behalf. Decisions that serve their interests, not the interests of the organization. But secondly, it's something that we want to confer and concur with you that we are doing everything in our power to reduce dependency on consultants. With respect to evaluations, I would like to think we're talking about evaluation of tenders. It's a team from when we started as a collective. The evaluation teams I appoint because I don't want to have contamination. The point in case is the bid evaluation committee on electronic monitoring and the bid adjudication committee. It had external people. Because it minimizes your risks, it minimizes collusion, because more you have your own people, and it's the same people all the time. But I can assure you, the committee, that we're doing what is right within the principles of governance, good corporate governance. As to whether we have officials in DCS who are in supply chain management or whatever, who do business with the organization, certainly, it's part of the investigation that is taking place, so as to rid ourselves of the corruptive measures that are there in the state machinery. I cannot commit myself because it's an ongoing process, but whenever we discover those cases, the minister and the deputy ministers are informed accordingly. We can only ensure that those cases that are up for disciplinary action, we should strive for the case being taken to its final conclusion, and not those cases where we believe wrongful acts have been committed. But that's not for me to judge. It's a panel that is there based on the principle of probability of the matter before discussion. But certainly we appreciate the comments that were given to us. In fact, they strengthen our resolution and resolve to have an organization that is functional. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Zwelin, and followed by Zobo.
No, thanks, Chair. I must start by thanking the National Commissioner for helping me, because I was a bit worried about this extension. Now, the explanation that you have given, I think it is fair what you have done for the interest of the country. But there's a question that I would like to ask. How many legal opinions did you get so as to extend this this contract? And also, you see, the issue of kitchens and equipment, we are not clear who owns these things. Because if you go to Westville, where I went on Monday, the stove, tilting pan, have not been working since 2009. And then you ask yourself, is it the work of the PPW operational services? If you can be clear on that one, thanks.
Chairperson, on the first question, thank you, Bob Ndrovo, for Bob, my apology. I'm already tired. I want to thank you for your comments, and with respect to legal opinions, we received three legal opinions. The National Bid Adjudication Committee present here, the members would confirm here on record that I was not satisfied with only one. Therefore, it is important that we have a broad spectrum of legal opinion, and that I did escalate to senior management, to his APEC leadership. I did inform the DM, who concurred with his opinion that we should spread the legal opinion so that we don't have one single opinion dominant in the decisions that will guide the National Bid Adjudication Committee. Who runs the kitchen? The kitchens and the equipment. Big question. That's part of the audit that we're doing. Because if we don't do the audit ourselves, I would like to believe that the CDC development, CDC corrections, dispatched a team last week. I'm subject to correction, the two colleagues are here, especially on this matter. Because we're very keen to deal with this matter appropriately. The ownership of equipment and technology. But I would like to give the CDC, both of them, any of the two, to perhaps indicate the status of what we want to achieve. Thanks, Chairperson.
Chairperson and members of Parliament, thank you very much. What I can just add to what Commissioner has alluded to is the fact that with Devon, equipment has been delivered there, which should be our equipment, but it is not the correct equipment that has been delivered. We're having this challenge that the contractor that was contracted to provide the equipment has been declared bankrupt. Now we are sitting with the situation at Devon of trying to, together with Public Works, to get another service provider who will then provide us with the correct equipment. There is a case at this point in time, Chairperson, with regard to that. But after the audit that has been done, we shall then, as a department, take a decision what are we going to do, because we have by September to ensure that our kitchens are ready. Thank you.
The contractor that went bankrupt, how long ago was that? CDC Moody's, we said just now that we do not want to hear these type of stories in the media. We really do not want to hear these things in the media. You are here now with us today. We're discussing this matter. I would have thought that somebody would have said these are the challenges that we have. Had this question not been raised by silence, it means tomorrow these things come out in the media and again we have to have media reactions. I think it's helpful that if we are talking about kitchen equipment, specifically these seven, by the time you leave here, we want to know everything that we need to know about these seven. Going forward, you'll give us others. But really, the media are here today, colleagues and other people are here today. By the time they come to us, we must be able to say we have reasonably covered all these things. I'm just very concerned that the Commissioner is also not here, because this is what Mr. Abram spoke about. Commissioner is passionate about meeting the deadline of end of 2013 January. But it's reliant on these people making sure the kitchens are equipped. And all those type of things. I'm looking at all of you, from you, Mr. Smallberger, to Ms. Reiner, to everybody. I'm looking at all of you and saying to you, if this senior management fails in this regard, if this senior management here fails in this regard, then you seriously need to consider whether you are fit to be senior management. And that it's not just Moyani that's going to carry the can, because all of you, really, it's going to depend on all of you. So we are appealing to you guys on this one. Can you tell us, Commissioner, this service provider that you say has gone bankrupt, have we paid in? What is the contingency plan on that one? Or is there some stuff that we now need to go and procure somewhere else? Because DM, this evaluation team can't say to me that they've been evaluated and given this contract to Vincent without having assessed that Vincent is probably a risk. You can't say to me you've got an evaluation team that's worth its salt that is doing that. So could you give us in writing this, you don't have to talk to us here now, can you just give us in writing a report on the circumstances around the Durban contract and the provisions there? Because we don't have the facts, we don't want you to speculate, we also don't want to speculate, let's discuss it when we've got all the facts before us. Is that okay, Modis?
Chairperson, that's fine, I will provide you with the information that we have, but I need to state here the fact that after we provide our needs to the Department of Public Works, the contracting of contractors is not our responsibility. So in the event that any contractor is unable to deliver, the Department of Public Works shall take action against that contractor, which includes also blacklisting that contractor. So in this case, Jefferson, I must say that there is a process that is underway to address that situation. Thank you.
Let me get this correct, Maurice. The appointment of that contractor to supply those goods, did you appoint that contractor or did Public Works appoint that contractor? We're talking about, Quelle said he wants to know who owns the pots and pans in Durban and are the hours. We were told, Guti, yes, there are pots and pans that have been delivered, but we haven't finished the whole consignment because this person went bankrupt. The question that I'm asking, who appointed the person that was supposed to supply it? Was it DCW or the Public Works, so that we put the blame where the blame should be?
Chairperson, DPW appoints contractors.
Yes. Thank you. DPW, when we get to you afternoon, we'll talk to this matter as well and the other matters that we've raised and anything else, because we must have put an opportunity to have spoken to us. Baba Ndlovu, you'll come in sharp. You need to, Ndlovu.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I must thank the National Commissioner for the presentation. Chairperson, I want to start from this book, which is Public Service Management Act, Public Finance Management Act, PMFA. According to the accounting officer, I just want to read one, the A, expenditure of that department is in accordance with the vote of the department, the main division within the vote. I had the CFO saying that it's within the department, it's within the vote. I wanted to ask that, in other words, did he foresee that this day will be extended, the 420 million? Because he said that it was within the vote. He foresaw that this thing would be extended. That's the first question. The last question, Jefferson, is that can I get the assurance from the commissioner, from all the adjudication committee, and everybody who will be in charge in looking after the nutrition in the correctional center, that the head will roll
if the contract is not finished by end of January. Their heads will roll. All of them. Can you get the assurance? The head will roll if the contract is not completed or finished at end of January 2013. That the head will roll. Can I get that assurance now? Because we are coming from 2004, now we are 2012 today. Thanks, Chair.
Are you indicated you wanted to say something?
Thank you, Chair. The question of the report, sir. Are we going to get an answer? The report which indicated that there was an intention on the part of DCS to outsource in a meeting of the players. Yeah.
DPW are coming to us later, yeah.
Commissioner, CFO, did you foresee the extension and thus had the money in the budget, and Commissioner, the consequences of this contract in the unlikely eventuality? I want to repeat, in unlikely eventuality of it being extended, what are the consequences? In any order, yes, CFO.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson,
I just want to add on that one.
Yeah.
That brings me to this legal opinion. This is a legal opinion. I think this committee is also entitled to a copy of those legal, because that legal opinion addresses the legal basis for this extension, which we have to support on other platforms, that we acquit ourselves what is those legal basis and the consequences which you requested them to answer on, so that we can convince ourselves, because we act on behalf of Parliament, we are entitled to see the content. Thank you.
I'm sure, okay, Commissioner, you'll respond to that one. But let's start with you, CFO.
Thank you, Chair Thurston. First one, Chair Thurston, that Chair, I would like to comment on, it's not what was raised by the member, but what we can people are pointing to. As DCS, whatever tenders that we deliberate, okay, at the Bid Adjudication Committee, now we started the process of getting the financial statement of those particular companies that we're going to deliberate on, including not just the financial statement, including the 6 month bank statement, so that we can see in and out of transaction of cash. That's what I wanted to clarify, Chair Hatton. The question that is asked by the member, I'm very pleased to see the member that is going to the detail of the PFMA. And that provision, as I indicated earlier on, the Honourable Member, that Chair, as we need to feed the inmates. It's either we are using consultants or not using the consultants, but we have to feed the inmates. So there is a provision for that within our budget. FDF, we need to make sure that when we are feeding those inmates, our kitchens are all ready. And if I can make an example, we've got this 242 centers, which house our inmates. All those centers, they've got each and every one of them a proper provision of the budget within the main division of the board. Within the main division of the board. If I'm talking about the main division of the board, in terms of personnel, in terms of goods and services, and all other things that is within, to make an example, to ensure that, as Commissioner was indicating, that we are trying to be hands-on to all everyone, I went to the budget file myself, to make sure that the provision that is there is it cover all those areas of the main division of the vote. So it's not that the provision was not made. The provision is there. It's not for outsourcing. That it was only waiting for outsourcing. Even we have outsourcing or not, but we still have to see. Our mandate is to feed the inmates. So that provision I have to make. Thank you, Chairman.
Chair, I'm sure you jump in, sir. Thank you very much, Chairperson. In other words, through your commissioner to the CFO, there will be no unauthorized expenditure at the end of the financial year. Is that what you are telling us? The answer is simply yes or no.
Oh yeah, Chairperson, the CFO is not telling us the truth by saying that he is making sure whether they are consultants or not. What he's saying, he's contradicting himself. Utatundov is saying that he can't give us an assurance that there will be no wasteful expenditure. A consultant will never calculate to the vote of DCS. It will calculate to profit. And there is no argument about that. They are working to make profit and not to deliver effective service. Their effectiveness is on making profit for themselves, not in the interest of DCS, not in the interest of feeding inmates. That assurance is not there. If there was an assurance, I know you are also new CFO, but you are not there yet to say to us there is an assurance. You are not there yet. Rather give us a true reflection than giving us a vague, broad statement that is going to haunt you in the next meeting. Thank you, Chair.
No. Baba, let me speak first, and then you'll speak a little bit if you're not happy. You know, I think AG said to us earlier on that this will be part of the investigation, and they will pronounce on whether it is wasteful, irregular, fruitless, or whatever. And I think he also was saying that I can make a pronouncement now, and yourself, Baba. That's why, let me protect you to answer this question. Because you will make a pronouncement, you know, the decision on whether it's irregular or not, it's not yours. It is that of the AG's office. So I don't want you here to make this undertaking. They will not be irregular in this instance. And then the AG comes tomorrow and says, no, this is how I'm classifying it because I've done whatever. Is it not reasonable, colleagues, that we let's wait for the AG's report, and on the basis of his pronouncement on this 410 million that we're talking about, then we have this discussion. Because I really also don't want to put the department in the corner, because it's not their decision at the end of the day. So is that acceptable? Thank you very much. But there were still the questions around what are the consequences, Commissioner? What are the consequences if we have to have this discussion in a year's time? And secondly, the legal opinion copies been given to the committee.
Chairperson, on the first one, assurance on the implementation of this contract not failing and not falling in the cracks by 2030. Inshallah, I would like to believe my convictions are right. I have a team behind me that is working towards the achievement of this obligation. As a human being, I have committed myself that we make this transformation to become a reality. It is easy to say heads will roll, but I have made a commitment here in this meeting, August meeting, that we're working towards elimination of the Bosasa contract or service provider out of our Indian organization. It's a commitment that we want to live with. It's a commitment that we have all agreed upon, and therefore I shall take full responsibility of the team in delivering that mandate. So that's what I want to say. With regards to the legal opinion that is being sought here, I would like to believe that if we have the copies that could be made here, we have the three legal opinion, and we may send them this afternoon to Cindy, request my office that they should be faxed or scanned to your email. That is something that we can do today. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
May I?
Yes, sir.
The question of whether this thing will be able to meet it or not, I think we should be answered partly by saying we'll be working together, ourselves and yourself, because we'll be submitting 3 monthly reports to indicate the difficulties or whatever, which you can verify yourself. I'm saying this because the public works admits that they're in ICU themselves. That's what the minister is saying for public works. He was on radio today, he was saying he's technically under administration. So I don't want us to take responsibility for things we might not be able to manage. But I think the important thing is that we should keep the committee informed and say these are the difficulties and these are the measures we are taking to tackle those challenges as we go forward. With one focused view to meet the deadline. But that public work is in ICU.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. I wanted to say, colleagues, that we started off by saying that we're going to discuss this matter for an hour, but we've taken 3 hours to discuss it, because for us it is that important. For us it is that important that we discuss this matter for 3 hours, and we are convinced that we have now covered all angles around this nutrition. All that is left is the implementation thereof. So, Lingana, we are appealing to you that you will come and give us as much information as possible quarterly. CFO, we are appealing that you're going to come with your supply chain and contract management, because all these things have an impact on this thing. Commissioner, you will come and make sure that the DC hearings and so on are happening on time. We are moving to DPW, because those are the other stakeholders other than ourselves. We are making an undertaking that announced and unannounced, we will go to the 7 management areas. So by the time you come to Asma, somebody will be able to say, but you know, Monday I was at Joburg, or Monday I was at Krugersdorp. Lento is not like what you're giving it on. So we are saying this to you, Commissioner, already. I mean, members know that we are spread all over the country, and we have this practice of saying when you are in there, in preparation for whatever the hearings are, just go and do your own on local visit. So, DM, you're correct. We're all in this boat together. But by the time you come to us, we would have had individually or collectively visited these 7 management areas. So it's an undertaking that this committee quarterly will visit them. If we don't get a budget to do them as constituency, Cindy, then we will do them in our individual capacity as we did this week. But every quarter before the department comes, we will have to go and do our own authorization so that this thing works according to the instructions of the minister, assurances of the commissioner, and the insistence of the portfolio committee. We want to move over to you, DPW, to talk on these matters, if there are any of these matters, but because we've got an hour and then we're not going to have time, our oversight visit in the summary, and you would have received them, that you will need to talk to us about. We were concerned. Van Reinsdorp, Brantley and Sirius, I think, are the ones under question. The lengthy delays that are taking place there, in terms of the completion. We've come from a terrible experience in Kimberley. A terrible experience in Kimberley related to delays. 250 million, I think, was the original one. It ended up close to 800 million left. And we deliberately did the series Van Reinsdorp and so on. And we did get an initial briefing from Mr. Johnson, thank you very much, and his team. Initially, when we raised our questions. And we did say we will come back here because we will have time to have studied them, have a second discussion, and then produce a report to Parliament of our oversight of it. So this is what it is about. So when you respond to some of the things that have been raised now, if you can just give us an overview of the Ferencdorp series and Brantley matters, and we'll discuss all those things holistically. To DCS, look, we apologize that we're not going to be able to deal with the parole matter, but it is as important a matter as this one. So let us agree that we're going to shelve that one to the nearest possible. Cindy and I will work out on a date. So what we will do is we'll deal with the DPW matter. It shouldn't be too long a matter that we deal with, and then we will reschedule this very important sitting about the parole board and the case management. And maybe it is good, Cindy, because the people that we had invited anyway, the parole board chairs and CMCs are not here, so we will reschedule it and get the role players. I think the lessons that we're also learning is that on these matters we will have one agenda item. I'd rather sit the whole day and discuss parole board than to try and squeeze parole board, correctional service, I mean DPW. So we will do those type of things. Just to say that we are amending the agenda slightly, we won't talk on the parole board. But it is 5:01, sir. Can we give you about 20 minutes or so to do your initial presentation? Members want to ask questions. They then can ask this. Is that okay? Thank you, sir.
Honourable Chairperson, honourable members, Deputy Minister, Commissioner, colleagues, all protocols observed. In servicing the needs of correctional services as one of our key and most valued customers, the Department is very clear on its mandate, and that is that the built infrastructure must be there to enable our client department to deliver on its service delivery mandate. Let me say that we as officials of the department are very grateful to the direction and tone set by our new leadership on radically transforming performance, amongst other things, and I believe that the improved results will soon speak for themselves. We also note your comments and requirements, Honourable Chairperson, as it relates to performance this morning in our further engagement with correctional services. What I'll do with your permission is to briefly address some of the questions raised while my colleague Ellie gets the PowerPoint presentation. It won't be a long one. That addresses the issue of the oversight visit. Some of the questions will come out of the way she articulates the explanation on the oversight visit issues. Effectively, who is responsible for the kitchens? I think it's a big question here. And in the internal memo that was lifted to members a little earlier, it specifically says that Public Works is responsible for the maintenance of built-in kitchen equipment, cooking hoods, gas and oil burning equipment, refrigeration and laundry equipment. To us as architects and engineers, this means fitted equipment. It's not talking to cups and saucers and plates and spoons and ordinary pans and fridges. That's the to how we understand that that's the provision of correctional services. So the pots that we spoke about a little earlier are not the pots that you cook on the stove, but in fact those very large cauldrons which are fitted and then they cook food on that for the prisoners in that. Yes, in that regard we are responsible for that. With regards to provision for maintenance, when it comes to the infrastructure and these fitted equipment, Public Works is responsible for day-to-day maintenance, except that it has delegated client departments until recently 30,000 rand per item. This has been raised to 100,000 rand per item.
So if there's a stove that's not working, our understanding is that the client department, to the extent that it's limited or up to 100,000, would be responsible for, be it build infrastructure or in fact the kitchen equipment. We are fully responsible to keep for kitchen equipment maintenance where it's a very specialized item. Perhaps just to give you an overview, I'm informed that there are currently 133 kitchen projects throughout the country. I had the breakdown, and I would propose in the quarterly presentation when the DTS meet again, if we are invited, or even subsequent to this meeting, we can make this information available. Of the 133, the 8 in question, we as key account management, and I'm speaking now as an official in that branch of the department, engage the client and receive the request. We then instruct our operational unit. I'm advised that all the planning instructions have been issued to projects, and in fact, these projects are in various stages of delivery. They could be in design or construction. I don't have the information with me here today, but I can provide it immediately after the meeting as it pertains to those. The key issue is to be mindful of the September 2012 deadline and the need to ensure that the delivery of our infrastructure dovetails with the requirements of correctional services. And in that regard, outside of the forum, correctional services and ourselves will sit so that the two plans integrate in terms of a united plan as to the transition that is required here. I think for now, if I can ask Ellie to take the stand at the PowerPoint presentation and talk to the issues on the oversight visit, we'll field further questions after that. Thank you.
Shall I start? Good day to everybody here. What we actually think, we've prepared a presentation on the questions that were raised at the oversight visit. There were a number of draft observations made, and our presentation really reflects that. I'm also going to be mindful of the time set by the chair, so I've got to go quite quickly through the through my presentation. So you will have to then just ask questions afterwards. The oversight visit took place on the 6th of February, as I've said, and we're going to really raise the questions that were asked, and in some cases the questions won't appear on the slide, and I'm just going to quickly give you some indication of what the questions were about. One of the questions was about the service level agreement between the two departments. And one, our information is that at this stage about this is that the service level agreement was signed by the Department of Public Works on the 17th of October 2011. It has been forwarded to DCS headquarters, but we're still awaiting DCS signature on the service level agreement. Then the next observation that was made was about the builder's holidays as an unforeseen cause of the project delays. I know I've also heard this earlier, and we want to try and explain how contractually this works. Before receiving a bid, when a contract period is determined, the duration of the actual work determines the initial contract period. The initial period is evaluated, and it is also established how many builder's holidays fall within that period, which will then obviously be added to it. The extension of a contract period is then calculated in working days, and please be mindful of the word working day. And this is just as an example. If a contract was awarded on the 3rd of November 2008 with a contract period of 24 months, the initial contractual completion date will be the 2nd of November 2010. Is an extension awarded of 40 working days for whatever reason? The reasons could be different. It could it's more often than not additional work. Then if you evaluate that first 40 working days and you add it to that contractual completion date, you've got to consider the public holidays as well as the builder's holiday. So from the 2nd of November 2010, for 20 working days will bring you up to the beginning of the builder's holiday, which is the 15th of December. Then you can only start adding it again after the builder's holiday, which means your working days, extension of 40 working days, will bring your contractual completion date to the 14th of January 2011. And that's basically just to explain how the builder's holidays have an effect on the extensions of time. Then, just to continue, the builder's holidays are factored into the contract. Oh, no, sorry, did I go back now? Okay, I was going to go on to the inclusion of escalation clauses in the contract. The escalation clauses are all contained in the contract documents for all projects where the contract period exceeds 6 months. We're now talking of building price escalation, so that includes material, labor, etc. The contract price adjustment provisions, that's what we call it, allows the contract to be adjusted as set out in accordance with the JBCC 2000 Principal Building Agreement and in the indices application manual as reference for the individual. There are indices received on a monthly basis. They come originally from the Bureau of Economic Research, and that's basically where the indices are based on, and that is how escalation is calculated. The other big question was the management of underperforming contractors. And according to the conditions of contracts, both JBCC or GCC, when a contractor is underperforming contractually, he is in default for failing to perform and complete the project on time. The condition applies to underperformance which is without justification and without valid reason. The contractor must first be placed what we call in terms, sometimes called in moral, in line with conditions of the contract, be it the JBCC or the GCC, which are commonly used in the department. Those are the two contracts that we basically use. Where the contract was reviewed as a result of underperformance by the contractor and in the end may be cancelled, the details are forwarded to the National Treasury through our offices of the CFO and the Chief Director of Supply Chain Management for further attention. That is the process we follow. Limits to the cost escalation in deviating from the original scope. There was a question whether there is a limit on cost escalation. And first of all, I just wanted to make a remark that according to both the conditions of contract, there are no limitations on cost escalations resulting from deviations. I'm talking resulting from variation. So if there are extras required or changes required, there is no limit in the contract condition from the original plan, but it is obviously with the provider that such deviations are approved by the client, and in this case, DCS. And if additional funding is needed, the funds must be provided. We cannot continue with additions without the funds being provided. There are also no limitations to cost escalation as a result of the contract price adjustment provisions, which is what I talked about earlier, which is adjusted as set out in the JBCC agreement and in the indices manual. Another observation that was made that there was poor planning and monitoring in relation to excavation. You must remember the oversight visit was at Ceres, and it really, but it also referred to the other two institutes. Trial holes, meaning big holes that we dig in the beginning stages and the planning stages to ensure that ground conditions are confirmed, they are dug in selected areas. And over quite a big area, you might, on a grid, decide to dig in specific areas to determine your ground conditions. And these ground conditions then give you the direction to the design of the foundation. At Sirius, the ground conditions were tested, as I've stated, but during the construction, there were some of the areas where different ground conditions were experienced. For instance, they were in their trial holes, there were not a lot of clay, or the clay was in a much lower stage recorded. But when we started the work, some of the area of the clay was very high, was resulting in a different ground condition. At Bronze Clay, there was an unexpected underground water in certain areas, which we did not know about. And at Van Rensdorp, some underground structures were encountered. Now, nobody knew about these underground structures, meaning old foundations or a similar type of thing, that caused a problem, and it must first be investigated, then looked at, and obviously that does cause a delay. Then we were asked to give a breakdown of additional costs for the different facilities. And first of all, we're looking at Brandstein. I don't want to go into the detail. I think everybody has got the details. It's just some of the greater items that resulted. And as I said, I do not want to go into too much detail here. Also, on Van Rensdorp, the detail of the additional costs and theories. The reasons for scope change or called additional costs. Correctional services provides the Department of Public Works with a generic layout for a new generation facility. The branch site on Ransom for Sirius projects could not be implemented exactly as the generic layout, and changes, adaptations were required. This is, I think everybody would be able to understand that your site is different. So everything must be fitting onto a site, and you've got to make certain changes. And in both Sirius and Van Rensdorp specifically, there are also existing buildings that had to be looked at. The generic layout had to be adapted to suit the site and to accommodate existing ground slope, roads, stormwater, etc. Further to these shortcomings that we had, during the construction, there were also some changes that were required. And many of those changes it's also the result of experience that was gained through building the other facilities, and one has got to keep that in mind. Another observation that was made is if the monitoring of cells from the control room at Sirius Prison could take place, and the answer to that is should the monitoring of the inmates inside the cells be required, the Department of Public Works would commission a full investigation to determine the best method. It's envisaged that the scope of work in this regard entails the installation of additional cameras, cabling, controls, monitors, and recording equipment. And we will only act based on the instructions from the Correctional Services Department. We will also ask for the square meter area of the facilities, and just to give an idea, Brunsland is just under 30,000 square meters, the building area. Sirius is 10,600, and Van Rensdorp roughly is 11,300 square meter area. Then we will also ask what is the initial cost and what is our projected final cost showing the differences. Brunsland initial cost is 315 million, and the projected final cost is 390 million. Van Rensdorp 220, I'm rounding it off, and the expected there is 286 million. Sirius 212, and the expected is 242 million. We're still busy with finalizing, as you know, Van Rensdorp and Sirius, and Brunsland, the final accounts still need to be finalized. Then there was also an observation with regards to the adequacy of electrical supply. All these centers are constructed on existing correctional sites, which currently have power connections to the supply with Brunsland. Application for increase in power has been submitted to ESCOM. The project also has energy saving measures in place. Hot water, spring water is being distributed to the hot water usage points, creating a saving in the hot water generation. The new kitchen facility will take over all the cooking requirement of the site, and the satellite kitchens will not be used for cooking purposes, hence consumption will become much less. And Eskom can provide the power that will be equal to the maximum demand measured on site. Further increase in consumption will require an additional application to increase the network leading to the site. That is if they are, if we ask to do additional work there. On Van Rijnsel, the power to the site was increased to the maximum that the local municipality can provide, and then engineers have implemented load shedding devices between the kitchen and the laundry to control peak consumption. At Steeris, the power requirement of the site has been connected to the supply authority grid as power is available and currently used. It must also be noted that each of the facilities will have a generator capacity to provide power to the essential load in the event of a power failure. Then we will also ask why did we award a second contract to the same contractor, meaning that we first awarded the contract to Van Rijnsdorf, and a couple of months later we awarded the Steeris contract to the same contractor. I think that was basically the question. And we were also asked to provide the shareholding of the company, which is just as it's stated there on the screen to you. And the explanation of why we did it, at the time of awarding the seller the second contract, meaning the Steeris contract, the first contract was running for 9 months, and at that stage, they were only 4.5 working days behind schedule. For a project of this nature and contract, that was really not a problem and could not be seen as a risk at that stage. It must be pointed out that the value of the EPWP NYS initiative consisted of 1% of anticipated final cost for Steeris and Van Rijnsdorf. However, the contractor had also employed additional labor. I think at the Steeris oversight visit, the contractor complained about the EPWP NYS issue, and this is really what it comes about. Van Rijnsdorf and Steeris are not considered rural centers. However, they are remote from the contractor base, and although they were aware of this at the standard stage and cannot be used as an excuse. With regards to additional instructions and emissions of the contract, currently Steeris has 247 and Van Rijnsdorf 315 contract instructions, each impacting maybe on time frames, could be on time frames, and could be on cost, but not necessarily. A further initiative employed by the contract in this specific case was a contract participation goal, whereby we the contractor earned points by giving subcontracts to potentially emerging subcontractors. They have tendered a CPG at Van Rijnsdorf and has already spent $44.8 million towards the CPG, meaning awarding subcontracts to contractors that are in HDI ownership. For Steeris, this figure is $36 million, constituting almost 68% of the CPG tendered value. They tender a specific value, and we have got to monitor it in the end. They must make the 100%, otherwise we apply penalties. This is really where the contractor said there were delays attributed to the inexperienced labor and EPWP, the NYS initiative. The National Government Training Initiative was part of the Steeris and Van Rijnsdorf project documentation and was implemented on Brandplein as an additional instruction. The initiative of EPWP is to contribute to the Artisan Skills Development Program, and it's aimed at the youth who want to develop their careers in a built environment. Steeris had 104 learners that received training between 2008 and 2010. Van Rijnsdorf, 124 learners received training from 2007 to 2010. And Brandstad, 65 learners received training between 2008 and 2010. The implementing of the NYS initiative does not grant the contractor a right not to employ qualified labor or artisans of his own, or to only use the NYS learners. So it cannot be used as an excuse for delay. The contractor had agreed, acknowledged At the tender stage, was this initiative was part of the project and could have influenced its tender price by making due allowance for it. The contractor was not prevented from using any labor. The shareholding of the Stella and Group 5, that's what we were requested of. The Stella Construction is owned by Mr. Fisher and his daughter. And Group 5, the project at Brownstay was a joint venture between Group 5 and Bosaka. Those were all the observations that I can, that's the questions raised from the observations. Thank you. Team will help me with questions.
Yeah, that's fine. Maybe let's just give a overview and have the discussion, because we don't have to get into the details. The first thing that we concerned about, Commissioner and DPW and everybody else, is that when this information is made public, whether to Correctional Services Portfolio Committee or to the public or to anybody, there is normally an undertaking that says this project will finish on this day. Generally, there's an undertaking that this project will finish on this day and we will be able to move our inmates in. And obviously that has an implication on the planning for correctional services. It has an implication on our commitment to lowering overcrowding or moving of people. It's not just a exercise that we do, it has all those implications. Van Rijnsdorp, and you guys will correct us. Ms. Reiner, you guys will correct us. When was the commitment that people would move into Van Rijnsdorp? It certainly was not a matter of, it is still not fully fledged now. Series, the same thing, and Brantley, the same thing. So I'm saying, that is the problem that we have. And when we went to do an oversight visit, I hear what you're saying, ma'am, about the builders' holidays and so on. What we are saying to you, for our purposes, when you say to us this place will be ready for occupation, please, or when you make a pronouncement, please make a pronouncement when it's ready for occupation. To say to us that it's a 24-month thing and it will finish on November 11th and then we must still add 40 days onwards, that's not what the public understands. The public says that we will be able to move in, and we're saying in Kimberley there was a similar type of thing. In these areas there's a similar type of thing. So I understand your technical working, but when you communicate to South Africans in general and to this committee, we want to know when we will be ready to get the key to move in. And what you are giving us here is the same to us that those things must be included. So I'm saying overall that's the type of thing. I think the other thing that we need to raise, and we must decide on this, is because all our questions were based on the reasons for the delay. You indicate, ma'am, and I have sympathy with you, that you do a trial hold, and on the basis of the trial hold, you say this place is ready, it's not dolomite, or whatever the case might be. But you know, in all three of these cases, it looks like we drilled in wrong places, and I know that we can't do it all together. So I'm saying to you, I have to defend this thing to the voters out there. I've got to defend this thing when we're doing a budget vote. It can't be, and I'm sure Mr. Abraham, when he deals with this matter, will deal with it, that if this was Vincent Smith PCY Limited, my credibility would be shot and nobody would hire me tomorrow. That's the reality, Jenny. And I'm saying that government must be aware of this thing. It can't be a matter of because there's no threat whether we must be a part. They will give us this job again tomorrow. That is the concern that we are having with this thing. And that's why we say we don't want to get into the detail, but we're using it as an example. The third area that I'm raising
and that members might raise their own one. You know, when correctional services Sokela comes to us, you say to us that the cost for 200 beds is going to be X amount of million. That's what you say to us. And on that basis, we say, okay, fine, let's discuss and talk. Series, 74 million above what you guys came to talk to us about. 23% more. Fundraiser, 67 million above what the original price was. 30% more. Series, 30 million above what it's giving us. You know, guys, you are creating problems for us. Because what it means is that when you say that 50 beds are going to cost us X amount of rand, we go back and we say, therefore it's so much per bed space more on that basis. The reality at the end of the day is 70 million rand more. I'm just saying that we cannot operate in that sense. And these are the reasons why we visited you. Together again, we must find a way, ladies and gentlemen, of dealing with this thing. 171 million rand more than what the department came to us with originally. That's what we're sitting with now. 171 million rand more. So you come and you bargain with us on X. We go into oversight, we get told 171 million rand more is what is going to buy this thing. I can tell you, ma'am, if you go and buy a piece of land and this type of escalation, you will go bankrupt and you'll probably fight with the architect and everybody else. You're not going to build a house that's going to have a 30% escalation. Because we go and ask for bonds. I go and ask for a bond for a 4-bedroom house. After a year, I get told, well, it's escalated 30%. The bank is not going to give me that 30%, and I will lose out. I'm just saying that government must get its act together. That's what I'm saying. Government must get its act together. So those are the things that I wanted to raise. We'll allow members just to raise issues, and we'll just deal with it and put it all in the pot now. Is it the right solution? Yeah, we'll come to you up. So members will just put it all there, and we'll put it all in the pot, because it's really not an inquiry, it's just for us to get a sense of where we're at, and to be an example. Let's take the back row, everybody in the back row who wants to speak, and then we'll come to you, Paliso, everybody in this row who wants to speak, then we'll go to Commissioner, then we'll open it up. But bearing in mind that we really have only got 20 minutes, it's the budget, we can't be late today. So members can have about 2 or 3 minutes. Max.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, to add what you are, your concern, is I would like to know whether there is a penalty clause for not delivering in time. Otherwise, if you go on as you wish, and there's an escalation which is now actually binding without a limit, then it will benefit the contractor to drag on with this job because there's an escalation. And it amounts to the amount already indicated by the chairperson. Secondly, whose responsibility is it? We heard about this Durban West contractor who went bankrupt to investigate the liquid situation, whether this company is liquid to do business with the government. And the other thing is also, which is not actually for discussion today, is a concern, is their prices and their quotations is double, triple, you know, what if I approach them individually to, I think the Minister of Finance the other day expressed concern, are we checking whether this price is market related or is it escalating or, you know, blown up to drain the funds of the taxpayers. And this escalation, where you, my last one says, there's no limit to cost escalation. How far are we going to escalate then? You know, when are this thing going to reach the ceiling? At what level? At the percentage coupled with market-related pricing outside, or How do you manage this thing? Others, you just open. Thanks.
Baie dankie voorzitter, sommer baie vinnig. Chairperson, you know you have here this amount, it seems to be more or less the same amount, extensions granted to the contractor. In the one case, 22 million, in another one, a little bit this way or that way, but they all amount to around about 60 million on the three projects. Then Jefferson, for example, now prison furniture. Now, how does prison furniture come into this? 5.5 million rand, for example, in one case. The other problems that I see here, Jefferson, additional food trolleys at segregation. I thought segregation was gone in our country. But in any case, an amount of almost 2 million rand. Replace contaminated earth with topsoil soil. How was it contaminated? Yeah, I never heard of a word contaminated earth. Brachta, it's the first time I hear it. Earth is earth. Stabilizing of topsoil on sport fields, 1.175 million. So I can go on and on and on. What worries me is that if it's a government contract, you find all these astronomical amounts, and somebody seems to be agreeing to it. Do you check out whether what we are doing is correct? Then, Jefferson, you take here, for example, change to floor specification. Almost 10 million rand, sir. I mean, in the first place, when you gave out the tender, didn't you look at all these things? This issue of furniture for prisoners. Didn't you look at it at the outset when you decided to go out on tender? How come afterwards all these things tend to be creeping in? And Jefferson, you know, if there's Afrikaans-speaking people there, they will understand what I'm trying to say. Dankere means onse gedachte. There's something untoward here, that something is then built in later on. But I would definitely like at this juncture, Chair, an explanation on these extensions granted to the contractor. What kind of extensions? In a nutshell, Chair, I agree with your initial observation. All I want to say, if I was the person that was putting things out on tender, I would definitely see to it that such things don't creep in. Because your profitability is eaten up. I mean, if you are putting up a construction in order to, for example, a shopping center, you are not going to allow things like this to creep in, Chair. We must do these things on business principles. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, for the very first time, new member. Chairperson, I felt I must not be surprised when you talk about the limitation to escalation, because it's not true, member. The GCC has a limitation. It cannot be a perpetual deviation. You must limit it about 20% or so. But you can't just open a black check and go design and get away with it. So, yeah, when you do your calculations, it's very clear that they are beyond 20%. But Tipper said, yesterday, I'm also serving in the Portfolio Committee of Public Works. Yesterday, the minister was saying he's in power. What was said a little earlier by the deputy minister? That all the questions that you may want to get from the Department of Public Works, you're wasting your time. Because really, really, the department is in power. So you can raise these questions, but you are not going to get correct answers.
Thank you, Chairperson. I really want to agree with the member. I just wanted to say to you, ma'am, there is no such as ground condition. I come from local government in the district for 10 years. We do have a station development plan in every municipality, whether it's a B municipality,
when national departments come to a municipal area, that municipality do have the map, and that map shows the spatial development of business, where you can build what and where you can do what. There is no explanation of ground condition. It's not true. For me to go deeper to that chapter won't even help this meeting. But that explanation is not a true reflection of why there was a delay of this contractor. Whether the contractor is a BEE, it doesn't mean it must be on the cost of government coffers. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will be very quick. I believe that the Department of Public Works has engineering. Now, if you talk about contamination of ground, I don't understand that. I don't understand that because I come from the history of knowing the Department of Public Works very well, and I know that they are supposed to have engineers, people who are supposed to survey and know exactly what is going on, what to be built where. Therefore, if you come and say that at the end of the day, when the contract has been signed, there is a contamination of something, and then there is something wrong somewhere, somehow. That's the first question. The second question, Jefferson, I do agree that it can't be, the escalation can't be perpetuated up to the end. In other words, the contract is signed today, if you are going to buy a car, they tell you exactly that how many months you are going to pay for a car and how many years. It can't be you will pay Mr. Smith until you die. What about if you die tomorrow? What will happen? That's the thing we're talking about. Therefore, the Department of Public Works, if it's in the ICU, it's better dying so that we know that it's dead than to be in the ICU and not telling us what is going on, because that's the problem that we're going to face.
No, thanks, like 23. I just want to find out where do we get these learners from? And after completing their training, where do they go? Thanks.
Chairperson, only an observation on slide number 2, which you want to put on record. 2. The contract. Slide 3, my apology. I want to indicate that Correctional Services signed a service level agreement with Public Works on the 30th of March 2011. Now, what appears here is not a true reflection, because what was sent back to us was an amended version which completely contradicted what the legal opinions on both sides were given. So it tends to water down the content of the contract. So I'm not aware of the contract. To say this year's signature with it is not a true reflection. Thanks.
No, thank you very much, because yeah, the one that we were talking to Mr. Johnson on that day is this one that was signed on the 30th of March. You recall that I quoted from this one. This is the one that was signed on the 30th of March, although it never had the signature of DPW on this one. So it means DPW has got one that doesn't have your own signature. You guys need to talk to each other. But the one that I work on is the one that signed on the 30th of March with Mr. Moyane's signature. But let's open it up to yourself for comments, really just about comments, because we will do the report. The report will go to Parliament. This is just the opportunity to influence the content of our report to Parliament. Anybody, any of you feel like responding?
I hope
take some of the questions, if you don't mind. And I just want to, I'm not making apologies to anything, but I just want to say I'm a technical person, so my questions will be more on the technical side of it. First of all, and it's just something that I've picked up from your observation that I think we really must take part of it. It's something that really is bothering me a lot, is that if whenever we do planning and whenever we communicate, that we communicate fully. Because what I'm finding is that we could say the current cost of a project is say 200 million, if I can put it like that. But we're not communicating immediately to you that the period of planning could have been very short. So there are issues that may have to be resolved during the construction that could influence it and that could add another 20%. And also could add time frame. So I think that's something I'm really taking very seriously, that we make that point of communicating to consider all factors whenever we are informing DCS about costs. Then I just wanted to assure the member there that there is a penalty clause in the document and that in both Ceres and Van Rensdorp, the contractor is currently in penalty. Just so that you're aware of the fact. Then you also asked me about the investigation about the liquid situation of a contractor or of a bidder, if I can put it like that. We are obliged to use contractors that are registered with the CIDB, and therefore their registration is done on a yearly basis with the CIDB, and we also check their tax clearance certificate. And then there is the only other thing that we can check is their past experience. If they have performed well on a previous project, we have got no reason not to include them. Things do change, unfortunately. Then there was also the issue about quotations that could be doubled, that is not market related. We're very much aware of the fact we do work with estimates, and if there's a huge discrepancy, we need an explanation from the project leader of why is there such a deviation from the estimate. Then I have really realized that whenever I talk about escalation, it might not be the same word that everybody else is using. If you talk about escalation as a change in contract values, not talking about what I would say cost increases, I'm talking about additional work that's being added onto it. There is definitely a limit to that. We are obliged within the department, we've got certain delegations who can approve that. And also National Treasury has last year instituted the process that if you exceed 20% on such variations, you have got to first go to them for approval. It's not only 20%, it's a maximum of 20% or 20 million rand, whichever comes first. There were a number of items mentioned, sir, about extras to the contract that you queried, like for instance the prison furniture. All of those items that you see there are basically requests, I'm just trying to get to it quickly, that were requests from the client department, which is DCS. So there are, for instance, the solar water system was a request. I'll talk to the extensions just now. Then the furniture was a request because they fixed to the floor. That was a request, etc. So I do not think you want me to go into each and every detail where it comes from, because then we're going to sit here until 3 o'clock. But really, it is, then there are extensions to the contract. That extensions granted to the contractor is normally, if he's applied for an extension of time, and contractually we had to give him that extension of time because of, say, additional work, there's an additional cost involved. They price it up front, what we call time-related cost, and we've got to apply it accordingly, and that's where that comes from. Then I just wanted to say to the sir, if the GCC has got a 20% limit into the variations, all these three contracts on JBCC. JBCC hasn't got a limitation on the 20%. It says as long as it's agreed, it can exceed. I do not want to go into the ground conditions because I will need to find out a little bit more about that from what exactly that means, because the ground conditions, as far as I'm concerned, are tested by doing trial holes. I'm going to ask our project leader on the project to talk about the contamination. If you can just wait for a little, let me just finish the other thing. Slide 23. The learners were recruited from the area, and they go through the NYS program, works on a 6-month training program and a 6-month in service training, and then they complete it. They can then apply again later on, or they exit in some cases, and in quite a lot of cases, they're absorbed by the contractor as permanent employees. And on the service level agreement, I will leave that to our leader there to answer, please. Thank you.
Honourable Chair, honourable members, thank you very much. We'll certainly work closer with DCS and look at our own record in terms of the service level agreement. My understanding is that there probably was one sent to the client which they sent back. And then there were probably revisions to this document, and encapsulated in all of that would mean that the final revised document may still be pending signature, but may not yet have reached the Commissioner's desk himself, but might be within the organisation. I think outside of this meeting I'll have a word with him, and through the organisation protocols we'll find out where this revised document is and ensure that it signs speedily. It's also critical for us. In terms of the contamination of the soil, I do agree with the member. Geotechnical engineers on that should be more thorough. They obviously can't pin every square inch of the site, and they do these sort of things. Contamination on a project that I've worked with had a site that we were building, one of the head offices that many, many years ago had been used as a garage, a petrol garage, and the fuel had leaked out of the underground tanks. And this was not picked up during the soil testing, and it was only when the excavation for the basement began that they went deep enough to find the fuel contamination on the site. So I'm not sure what the issue is in this specific site instance. We can certainly report back, but that is an example of what we've encountered on soil contamination previously. I think that there was another issue that we need to look into, and we'll report back to. This is on the contractor that went bankrupt. As the delegation this morning, we were not aware of that problem on that project, and we'll certainly come back with full details on whether it was our contractor and what the issue is, and whether the regional office has instituted remedial measures so that there's no delay that exacerbates the delivery of the project.
Thank you very much, sir. We will be grateful. You can just come back with the names for us, because you'll find that this contractor might be doing multiple things all over the country for DCS. And if that's the case, we must stop him before he creates more damage. So we'd want to know who the names of those people are. The detail, I'm going to assume that Mr. Modise, it'll be part of the normal service level agreement that they were supposed to give you this, they're not giving it to you for whatever reason, and you'll deal with it. But we want to know the name of the service provider in that instance. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. DCS, we'd like you to say, and members of the committee, it's literally going to be for 2 minutes. So can we ask other people to excuse us, but DCS and the committee, literally going to be for 2 minutes.